Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. We're here live tonight. Thank you for being with us. We're going to be prophesying to everyone tonight and believing God with you for whatever you need, right? Whatever you need. Yeah. So thank God for that. And so if you need to be ministered to tonight, hopefully you got it early. And if you did, you'll get out early. All right. That's really cool. All right. Just a second here. Okay. All right. So here to pray for you, to minister to you, to bless you, to believe God, to, you know, minister to you personally. And that's what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to, the gifts of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And pastors and teachers are there, they're gifts from God. And they have a calling to minister to the saints in a way that nobody else does. That's what having a calling does. You know, anybody can pray and minister to somebody, no doubt about it. But if you're an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, you have an amazing call. Yeah, so it's something special God gives you, and you learn how to work with it. And really awesome, a lot of responsibility. Better not to be a teacher if you're going to be messing around with it, right? Because it's a greater condemnation to those who teach the word. So we got to make sure we teach it the best we can. I know some people are still learning and growing. We're all being changed a little by little. So we give people a break and a chance. Of course, God's given me lots of chances and breaks, for sure. And thank God for that, for his mercy, his endureth forever. Yeah, I'm so thankful for that. We're going to talk about the spirit man again. Wait, listen, I got some stuff today that's going, it just blew my mind. I don't know if it's going to blow yours or not. I think it might, but it's very, oh my gosh, so simple to understand. I just could not believe it. And so I'm going to share it with you tonight. Yeah. And hopefully you'll be able to get it like I'm starting to get it. And if you will, if you do, yeah, I think you're going to love it. It's going to really open you up. Yeah, really, really cool. Really, really, it's simple stuff, but just stuff I never thought about before. You know, that kind of thing. And so hopefully we'll get it all together tonight here and be able to share it with you properly and beautifully. So get ready to listen to this. It's a very, very powerful. If you've been listening to any of our teachings on the spirit man, how we talked about the spirit man last night, how that your spirit man, because he's born again, he's seated with Christ in heavenly places. Let me get that scripture for you real quick here before I move on. Okay. Ephesians 2:6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." And of course, that's all about being made alive, being born again. And so we'll probably go back and forth with the scripture. So it's very, very cool, right? We're going to go back and forth with it probably. Let me read it to you just for a second. I'm going to try to get as much scripture as I can. And Ephesians 2, verse 5, 6, and 7, made us alive with Christ. Now, let's just read 4, too. How can you read 5 without reading 4? Okay, I'm going to get it here in a second. All right, here we go. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. That's being born again by grace. You have been saved, right? And raised. Now, here's what happens when you get born again. And raised when you, as soon as you got born again, you're truly born again. This happened to you. And you were raised. He raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. In the what places? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right. Okay. So there you go. We're gonna probably go back and forth with that here a little bit here and there, but I wanted to get that to you. So you see that when you get born again, that's what Ephesians 2 is talking about. When you look at it, just look at it yourself when you get a chance. And he made alive. We were made alive. We were dead in trespasses, and that's when you were without Christ. Then you got Christ because you got born again by the Holy Spirit, right? Not shaking somebody's hand or getting baptized in water or going to a church or, you know, anything else. I mean, you get born again by the Holy Spirit, and then, of course, you follow that up with baptism of water. It's very important. It was months and months, maybe a year before I got baptized in water. I was flowing in the Holy Spirit, got saved. Then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, moved in the gifts, saw people getting healed. You know, just all kind of, and then somebody said one time, "You ever been baptized in water?" I went, "Yeah, when I was a Baptist lately." And she got really saved. I went, "No." So I got baptized in water. It's an amazing experience. Amazing experience. You got to have it if you haven't had it yet. So anyway, there you go. So when you got born again, before you ever got baptized in anything, if you got born again by the Holy Spirit, you were seated with him in heavenly places, instantaneously, in heavenly places. Remember last night we talked about that your spirit man is the only part of you that's in heavenly places at all times. And the Bible says in 1 John that your spirit man, and he who is born again, he who is born of God, does not sin. And that's nothing about habitual sinning. It has nothing to do with habitual sinning. People interpret it as that. It has nothing to do with that. I used to think it did. He's simply saying, talking about your spirit man. Your spirit man does not sin once it's born again. Now, your soul sins, your body sins. You still sin, but it's not your spirit man anymore. It's your soul and your body, different parts of you. Okay. So talk last night about how do you pray, proper prayer, and how do we know what real prayer is, and what is prayer all about? Is prayer seeking God? Yeah, of course, in a sense. I'm gonna speak some really plain language here, and so you have to understand that I'm not saying when in prayer we don't seek God, because that's what it's all about, right? But prayer, your spirit man, when you're born again, is seated in the heavens. And what is Jesus doing at the right hand of the Father? He's ever interceding for us, at the right hand of the Father. Your spirit man is in heavenly places watching that. So what is he watching 24 hours a day? What is he seeing 24 hours a day? Nothing but prayer and intercession going on all the time. That's what's happening. Your spirit man sees that. You're all going to love what I'm fixing to tell you. Hang on to whatever you got to hang on to. This is so cool. This is so cool, man. Woo! Dear God, help me get it out good. Okay, so your spirit man is watching Christ, right? He's not up there blind. He's not up there deaf. Right? He's seeing, hearing what's going on in heaven. And Jesus said, when you pray like this, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Right? So your spirit man is in heavenly places. He's still in your body. He's still part of you, but he's in a different zone, in a different place. All right? It's still you. It's still part of you. He's still in you, but he's connected to heaven. And he's seeing what's going on in heavenly places. He's in a prayer meeting that would blow your mind if you could see it, if you could be in it. Thing is that you are in it, and you are in it, okay? You are in that place, my God, where the perfect prayer person, the person who doesn't pray one thing wrong, who doesn't pray anything wrong, who prays everything right, Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father are all working together, right? And there's not one prayer that's prayed that is not prayed perfectly, right? Your spirit man is observing that right now. The thing is, it's so heavenly, it's so high. Your soul, who's still, you know, stuck in some stuff, you know, forgiven of sin, of course, the power has been broken up our soul. But now we have to unravel it and unravel the memories and walk through forgiveness and do all the things. So it's in two different places. A highest of high, you talk about highly classified info. Woo! Our spirit man is in on all of it, bro. I guarantee you. He's in on every bit of it all the time. All right. So now then, so how do we, I'm going to talk about it a different way tonight, right? Okay, so hang on. So how do we get thy kingdom, what's in heaven, down in the earth? Well, your spirit man was caught up with Christ, seated with him, if you will. Now, there's got to be a way to communicate what's in heaven to you, right? There's got to be a way, because it's so high. Now, listen to this. It's so holy. It's so mind-boggling that your mind, if it heard it, it was like going, hide me from this, because it's too awesome. Face, you'd live on your face. And some of y'all, some of us don't need any more damage done to our face. We got enough damage done it. You know, we've got to be on our face for a long time because you won't be able to handle it. It's so amazing. Absolutely so glorious what's going on there in that place. And you are there. But you just don't, you aren't quite, you don't quite know what's going on from your soul. Your soul don't know much, a little. I'm going to show you how part of this works, part of the connection. So when you got saved, when I got saved, I got gloriously saved, cleansed in the blood. I didn't even know what really understand what it was, even though I went to church all my life as a kid. Sit back in the back with the guys, and we'd poke and laugh and wait till it was over and go smoke a cigarette, you know, back in high school. Not in junior high, but high school. The beginning of high school. Maybe, well, I think I did start smoking before high school. So, all right, anyway, it doesn't matter. But so I wasn't really paying attention much, right? Well, you know, I got saved, 20 years old. Gloriously saved, cleansed. Didn't even understand it, had the love of God pouring through me, didn't even understand how God could love me, but I knew he did. It wasn't that somebody was trying to, I didn't have anybody convincing me God loved me yet because they still weren't sure I was saved because I was such a sinner. Right? Yeah. They're going like, I don't know if he's saved or not. That was, you know, he's, so they didn't know it, but I did, you know. And so anyway, so I was born again, felt the love of God, man. I didn't need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit speaking tongues. I didn't need to get baptized in water, although I highly recommend it. I highly recommend getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues because it is amazing. I want to talk about that here in a minute. But just being born again, no water, no nothing, no handshake, no nothing, just the Holy Ghost in you and your prayer of salvation to him. And if you truly got it, you got it, and you are born again, and you are your spirit man. It's now never going to sin again. The Bible says it first John. He that is born of God, the only part of you that's truly born, your soul has not been born of God. Your spirit man has been totally reborn and is seated with it. And if that had to happen, you couldn't seat with Christ in heavenly places. Seated, you might, you know, jump in and out and try to go in there and be knocked out because the glory, because he couldn't handle it. But your spirit man was born anew, born again. Holy, pure, righteous. When you hear people talk about how we're righteous, when you understand what I'm talking to you tonight, you understand what part of you is actually righteous all the time. Even when you're sinning down here, your spirit man never sins. He's always righteous before the Father. Always. All right, so I got saved about 3 months later, something like that. I don't remember exactly the timing. I went to college, going to play ball. That was my dream, you know, play ball, football, baseball, one of the two. And so I chose football and go play ball at a small college. And so I met these people that were just wild and crazy. They seemed to have something I didn't have, and I had a lot. I mean, I really was just like, I was on fire, or just, for quote, just a salvation boy. Yeah, I was on fire. I was telling people about Jesus. I was witnessing. I was weeping in front of, I mean, the people just would weep in front of me because they didn't know what was going on. You know, what's happened to you, man? And they would just weep. They didn't know why they were weeping. It was, I didn't even know what it was. I thought maybe I did something to hurt their feelings. Anyway, so, and they were just weeping because the glory of God got on them. It's amazing, man. So then, a few months later, they told me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, the baptism of what? I'm not baptizing anything yet. They said, well, it's the baptism of the Spirit where you get a heavenly language. I said, well, show me in the Bible. So they did. I said, that's in the Bible. I'll take it. Right? And so I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then I began to learn. Brand new. I'd never learned before. And that was, I connected to the power of God like I'd never had before. Now, that was a completely different experience. It was so amazing, so much more powerful than my salvation, but it was just like it was part of it, right? God added to me something that I didn't have before, even though I was already fully born again, fully saved, on my way to heaven, knew God, period. All right, so I want to tell you something tonight. The reason that you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is for this one reason, not because it's some biblical thing I'm going to come up with that makes you feel a certain way. I'm going to show you why you need the language. The language is so important when you understand what's going on with that language. I want you to watch this, right? Your spirit man is sealed in heavenly places, hearing heavenly things that can't even be spoken of, that can't hardly even be understood because there's so much of it, unless you get it in little pieces and little parts, right? Because it's so much, so overwhelming, so eternal, so amazing, that when God baptized the Holy Spirit, I started speaking in tongues, it says, First Corinthians 14:14. I love this 14:14 thing. 14 means deliverance. I was double delivered. I was delivered into salvation. Then I got delivered into the power of God. It was amazing. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. For if I pray, now watch this. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, what's going on right there? He is very clearly describing the difference between a born-again spirit man and the soul, the understanding. Because your spirit man knows, right? But your understanding, your soul, doesn't know. It's unfruitful. For if I pray in a unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So why do you need the tongue? Why do you need the language? What's so important about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in those tongues? Because the tongues is the communication. It's the language that's telling you, even though you don't understand it, you have to have it interpreted, it is telling you what's going on in heaven. Your spirit man is in heaven, and tongues is what connects and tells you hear it, you don't understand what it's saying because it's so amazing, you have to have an interpretation to get it in parts. But your spirit man is saying what's going on in heaven. For if I pray in a tongue, and on a tongue, my spirit is praying. My soul, you know, y'all know what it's like, you pray in tongues, you don't understand what you're saying until it's interpreted, as we talked about later in the scripture. It can't be interpreted. There's a gift of interpretation. So we know now that our spirit man can pray all by himself using our mouth, using our tongue, but it's our spirit man, not our soul. Our spirit man is praying. He that prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit man prays. But the soul just sits there and goes, what's going on over here? That's awesome, man. That's awesome. What about this stuff? Because what's happening is through that language, even though it's an unknown language, it's the only way God could do it, to communicate stuff to you that you couldn't handle. Your mind cannot handle it. If it was direct, your mind would be going like, oh, what? Y'all remember when I went to Israel, right? I've talked about this many times. I go to Israel, and I'm there with a friend of mine who's with was with Benihin Ministries. Pastor Larry and I were there. And so we were going to meet some pastors in Lebanon. We were at the Sea of Galilee at the time. So we met them at the Sea of Galilee, and they were going to pick us up in cars and take us up there. So they had two cars, picked up Larry, and they picked up me, two separate cars. So the guy that picked me up, we're following Larry and the guy there up to Lebanon. And it's a little ride. So the guy that was riding, I never seen him before, never met him before, didn't even know who he was. He says, hey, brother. Would you like to pray? And I said, sure. Let's pray. Yeah. I didn't think about that. That's a good idea. So I just do like I always do. I'm praying in English. I'm not praying quietly. I just pray like I always do, just like I'm talking to him. Lord Jesus, thank you for letting me be here in Israel with this man tonight. Thank you for what we're going to do in Lebanon. And he stopped me. He says, oh, you know Hebrew. I was confused. I was going like, what? I know Hebrew. I didn't know what he was talking about. He said, oh, you know Hebrew? I went, no, I don't know any Hebrew. He said, oh, no, you were just speaking in perfect Hebrew. I went, what? What? That was Hebrew? Because it was one of my main tongues. It's a tongue that I got when I first got saved. I have several of them that God has been gracious to give me. And so I just went, that one is Hebrew? I knew it was cool because it was the first tongue I ever got. He said, yeah. I said, what was I saying that I wanted to know? And the interpretation. In other words, my spirit man was in heavenly places and knew that I was in Israel because I'm in Israel and my spirit man's with me. He's part of me. He is me. But yet he's caught up in heavenly places. He's seeing what's going on with the Father, with the Son, watching the intercession of Jesus. And so when I connected with that language, it's like getting a cell phone and ringing up and going, hey, what's going on up there? What am I saying? And the guy said, you were saying in Hebrew, Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. Hey, what is, what? Yeah, you were praying, you were saying Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. I said, I was saying that in Hebrew? He said, yeah, you pray in Hebrew, and you say that just like in Hebrew, perfect Hebrew. I said, oh, my God. And he got excited. I told him, I said, I promise, dude, I don't know any Hebrew. He said, he just like was blown away because I found out he just got saved. He was a Palestinian who just got born again. And it blew his mind. He's going like, you promised me? I said, no, I promise. You know, in Christ alone, I've never spoken any. I don't know any Hebrew. And, you know, so I'm like, oh, my God. So what was happening? I'm in Israel. I have a calling to Israel, right? And I've talked about a little bit about that. But so God, through Jesus Christ, they were all going like, hey, man, you know, and just kind of what's going on in heaven. We finally got Chandler in Israel. Oh, he's exalting the Lord Jesus, who's seated at the right hand of the Father because he's doing the perfect will of God. And so my tongue goes, my tongue is telling me what's going on in heaven, right? Because I'm in Israel, but my spirit's in heavenly places, seated with Christ, and I get this language that's connected to me and literally verbalizing what's going on in heaven at that moment. Coming through that Hebrew, it was his main language, he told me. He said, that's my main language, Hebrew. I went, oh, really? He said, yeah, that's my main language. I went, you know, I went, wow. And so what was going on in heaven right then, right that moment when I'm in Israel on my way to Lebanon? Who I know Michael, the archangel, who's the head of Israel, the principality, the prince over Israel and watch of Israel. And I've told you guys about that. And so here I am, and I'm
in that tongue, and it's exalting the Father. Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father because I'm in Israel. It's like he's been exalted right now. This is like, Randy, I finally got you here. Oh, my God. Woo, you're here, and it's coming, and my tongue is telling me. And he's interpreting what's going on. What Jesus thinks about me being in Israel and being there where I eventually will go back again at times and be there four seasons. But so it's like what my tongue was telling me, what my spirit man was speaking in tongues in Hebrew while in Israel to a Palestinian telling me what I'm saying, that Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit were extremely excited because I'm in Israel, and this is, you know, one of my main callings, you know. And so it's like I'm exalting the Son of God because I'm there, and he's like going, woo, Randy's here. Look, his feet have finally arrived. We got him here, and the Lord literally did that. And so, y'all, you see what I'm saying? So that's the best way I can describe to you without going into a bunch of long teaching and trying to describe every detail of everything. This is why you don't just need to say you're baptized in the Holy Spirit without the language. You may be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't really know that. I don't have a big doctrine teaching on that. I think that with your baptized in the Spirit, you need that language because that language is what articulates the perfect prayer between you and God. Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. Well, I wonder why we don't understand him, because our understanding is so dull still, even though our soul is, you know, born, our soul is being cleansed and washed. It's not totally been renewed and reborn. You know, our spirit man has, but our soul is in the process of being renewed. Because it's so no one really understands. He who speaks in an unknown tongue or in a tongue does not speak to men, right? It's not, you know, my spirit man is not speaking to men. My spirit man is speaking to God. My spirit man, when I speak in a tongue, is speaking to God, not in the question realm, but in the answer realm. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries, right? In the spirit, he speaks mysteries. And you're edifying yourself. Verse 4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Woo! Wow, I could go and read the rest of that. It's all important. We're going to get into it later. But, man, you got to see this. It says in verse 13 says, let therefore him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Well, that's what went on with me when I was in Israel with that little guy, that Palestinian guy who just got saved. We're in the car by ourselves, right, on our way to Palestine, following Larry and Pastor Larry and their guy. And, you know, then we're driving along, and, you know, we're praying, and I start praying because he wanted to pray. And what happens? My spirit man starts praying unto God, not unto men, not praying like, oh, the interpretation wasn't, oh, God, I don't know what I'm doing here in Israel, but help me out, would you? My soul was doing that. My soul was going like, and my soul wasn't, my mind was like going, okay, I know I'm supposed to be here. I know this is it. Am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Question, question, question. But not my spirit man. No, not my spirit man. My spirit man is like going, woo-ah, this is yee-haw awesome. Yeehaw awesome. Is that really spiritual, y'all? Yeehaw awesome. I'm not sorry. All right. So my spirit man is not praying questions like, oh, Father, what would thou have us Randy to do? No, my spirit man knows because he's here in all the knowing realm. My sheep know my voice. There's the knowing realm. Your spirit man is not in the question realm. He's not in the, what do I do now? Duh. That's your soul doing that. My soul does that today. Your soul does it. Everybody's soul. Because we don't know. We live in this realm. We're like, we don't know what to do, where to go, how to do it. But listen, friend, your spirit man is in the knowing realm and lives in the knowing realm and doesn't live anywhere else and can never live anywhere else now that he's been born again. Now we just need to find out what the heck is going on up there. What's really going on, God? Well, what's really going on is you got saved. Your spirit man is seated with Christ. Now you got that heavenly language, or I did. Some of you got it too. What does that heavenly language do? The reason you need it isn't just so you can go blah, 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 and not say anything and just be, look like, you know, it's a heavenly language. It's a language doing what? It's telling you what's going on in heaven and speaking it to earth so that earth, or so your soul can interpret it, so the Holy Spirit can help your mind understand that, hey, I'm here in Israel, and this is exalting the Father who's at the right hand of the Father. He's happy. He's not going, Randy, you're in the wrong place, man. Do you know where you're going? Where do we go now, Bobby? No, my spirit man knew exactly. There was no hem-ha, oh, what are we going to do now? What's up? We're going to get the money to eat today. Where are we going to be? Your spirit man's like going, oh, yeah. Man, this is awesome. Woo! And it lives in the answer realm, in the knowing realm, not the question realm, the knowing realm. It's your soul and my soul that lives in the not knowing realm, right? Right. Paul the Apostle says in verse 18, he said, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Right? Of course, we're talking about the spirit of, he compares this praying in tongues to prophesying. But he says prophesying and tongues are equal when you interpret. See how powerful that is? I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all, yet in church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. But then he goes on down, he says, but he who, verse 5 says, I wish all of you spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he that prophesies is greater than he that speaks in tongues, unless he interprets what he's speaking in tongues about. You see that? That's why you see the prophetic realm and why sometimes, you know, my praying in tongues, and sometimes that praying in tongues, you know, connects me to, is the knowing realm. It's the not, oh, I wonder what's going on in heaven today, God. No, your spirit man knows, and that heavenly language is articulating it. The thing that you need to do is find a way to interpret that. Like I had that guy sitting in the car with me right there. I didn't have a clue I was speaking in Hebrew. Didn't have a clue his main language was Hebrew. I've never met the guy, never seen the guy in my life. I got in the car like going, you know, he didn't really look all that great of a person to me. He kind of had a, you know, like a rough beard, and he looked kind of raw and like, going like, you know, but I love everybody, right, honestly. So I'm looking at him going, man, you know, maybe get a chance to win this guy to Jesus or something, right? I didn't know, you know. And come to find out, he just got saved, and he spoke Hebrew, and he wanted to pray. So we did, and look what happened. My spirit man, I figured God was happy with me being there because I know I have a calling there. I kind of figured that out a little bit, but was I totally 100% sure that my timing was right and all that? No, honest to God, I wasn't. I was still enjoying myself. I mean, I'd never been to Israel before, my first time, you know, and like, wow, I'm with a ministry that lives right across the street from the holy city, from the old city, right across the street from the, you know, Wailing Wall, basically. And I'm staying there with them, and it's just like an amazing how God set me up like that, like boom, boom, done, done. And I'm, you know, and then I'm thinking, you know, this is awesome, but what am I going to do here? Who am I going to connect with? My big question was, who am I going to connect with when I'm here? You know, there's got to be something amazing going on because I'm called to be here, right? And my soul was like, question, question, question. Okay, who am I going to meet here? What am I going to do? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen? You know, how is God going to confirm to me that I'm supposed to be here because I knew I was, but was I here because, you know, just somebody gave me some money to go and somebody invited me, or was I here because I was on divine appointment? So when that guy interpreted my tongue, my spirit man already knew that God was extremely pleased, and this was exalting the, you know, Christ was being exalted at the right hand of the Father by me being there. You see, it gave answer to me. So I went, oh, my Lord and my God. Wow. Wow. All right, so y'all see that very plainly when you're speaking in tongues, it is your spirit man praying in a language that you are hearing. You may not understand exactly until it's interpreted. The Bible says prophecy is greater unless he interprets in verse 5. I wish all of you spoke with tongues, Paul said. So he's not demeaning tongues at all, like some people want to do. But even more, that you prophesy, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Now, that's for church edification. That's a whole different gift of tongues. That's a whole different thing out there. Your personal prayer language is truly amazing. For all I pray in tongues, my personal prayer language, my spirit man prays, and my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then, verse 15? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. So that's what I was doing with that guy. I was like, praying with my spirit. My spirit man was, not my soul, my spirit man was praying through that heavenly language, and then I would speak in English. It says, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit or in tongues, and I will also sing with the understanding. Y'all see that? Isn't that amazing? So I just connected you tonight. God connected me today, so I'm connecting you with what I just given it right to you, giving it to me. That is an amazing revelation of connecting information that we've all known for years probably, and connecting something that to me, and I'm pretty familiar with the Bible, pretty familiar with things, and I've never seen it quite like that before. That is an amazing thing. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, the reason you need the tongues, the languages, because that's the way that heavenly, what's going on in the heavenlies, is articulated to a heavenly language, but yet it's coming in the earthly realm where you can hear it. So that's your connection. That's the cable connection, right? That's that cable connection you have. Tongues becomes that cable connection that talks to you. You know? It's telling you. Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father, telling it to my soul, where my soul can go, oh, okay, I didn't want to tell that guy, but I'm struggling, you know, why am I exactly here? What's going to actually happen? Is God really happy? Did I really come because I had money and somebody gave me money to go and somebody invited me to go? Or am I here because God has an appointment with me to be here? You know, okay, because that was important to me, right? And I wanted to know. So when that tongue was interpreted, my spirit man knew the whole time. That Christ is being exalted. In other words, he's like, Christ being exalted right means he's like extremely happy with me right now. Woo, Chandler, you are like flowing, baby. Go, man. Go, go, go. Victory, victory is our cry. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Go, boy. And I was going. Yes, I was. Yeah. And I'm going back, you know, sometime. And I think some of you are called to go to Israel too. You know, you'll be going too, I'm sure. I already had several people tell me. I've had people years ago say they wanted to go with me if I went to Israel. I think Alana back years ago and others. I don't hear it from Alana anymore, but other people, you know, have kind of mentioned they thought they might be called to do that. Yeah, several people actually. So I'm excited about that. I don't know if that'll happen or not. Where I don't know that I will be going with a bunch of people, like on a trip or something, you know, like a vacation. Like the last time, it just happened. I mean, boom, boom, I was there. Yeah, totally shocked. I was in a total state of shock. Yeah, and thank God I had somebody who'd actually given tours. I was with somebody who gave tours. Pastor Larry was Pastor Benny's local pastor in Dallas for the Dallas offices, and he had California offices and Dallas offices, and the Dallas office, Pastor Larry was kind of like, you know, store staff over that. He ran it. And my friend Brian was the one that led worship for Pastor Larry, for Benny Hinn. And so I'd go with him, right, because he couldn't drive. Yeah, and how God set all that up. I'd have never gone had Brian not been legally blind. He could have driven himself. I would have never, none of that would ever happen. You see the divine work of God going on with all that stuff, right? Isn't that awesome? And you guys had a lot of the same things going with you in different ways. But anyway, very cool. I think I'm going to stop right there with that and go into Wednesday night. So we're going to be praying over everybody. I wanted to share that thing with you about your spirit man. Isn't that awesome?
Anybody get anything out of that? I hope so. There's absolutely a treasure that I got today. Was totally blown away by it. And I come here and I give it to you. God gives it to you through me. And it just shows you how that, what we were talking about last night, that's before I got connected to this. I did not have that connected last night. This got connected. Like every time I teach on something, God blesses me and gives me more revelation because I give the revelation away, right? I give it away for free. No strings, no ties, no nothing. Just here you go. Take it off. You can go back and get any teaching we have right here on PGN. Easy. All you do is go back. If you want to get pro, find it. We'll try to find somebody to help you find it. It's all free. There is no charging for anything. Amen. You want to give your tithes and offerings? You give your tithes and offerings. We don't sell things for you to give your offering to or your tithe. We don't sell books and go, well, you know, make that your tithe. That's robbing God. Give to God what belongs to God and give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. If you don't do that, you're not very balanced. You'll be in trouble eventually. All right. Let's don't get on that right now. That's important and powerful and wonderful. But let's finish up with this, and then we're going to take our callers tonight. Sure, and drink your water. Do not get dehydrated because you'll think it's the devil tormenting you, and all it is your brain's drying out on you. And it's crying out. It's not a demon going, help me, please, give me a drink, give me a drink. That's not a demon. That's your mind crying. Give me some water in here. I can't function without water. Literally. And I'm not even playing when I say that. I'm not kind of playing. Yeah. All right. All right, we got so much stuff going on. Oh, my gosh. Revealed the Antichrist last week. Oh, my. I don't know. This is just like mind-boggling. All this stuff is mind-boggling. I'm just like, I'm so excited. I can hardly sit still. Seriously, I'm so excited. So excited. So privileged to be a part of PGN. It's such a privilege to be a part of PGN. Yeah, such a privilege. All right. Okay, so I think we're going to, anyway, I need to finish up on that. So last night, let's do it real quick. Last night, I talked about how that, you know, what real prayer is. Real prayer is not, your spirit man is not asking questions. The born again part of you, that's the seed with Christ, there's no questions being asked. Your spirit man knows. That's the part of you that says, my sheep know my voice. No. That's the part of you that never sins. That's the part of you that doesn't have questions, just has answers. Because it's been recreated in the image and likeness of Jesus, and because it's seated with him, looking at him, watching him, now wouldn't you? Yeah, you wouldn't be going like, what do I do now, mommy? Daddy? Somebody help me? What do we do now? No, he's going like, he's sitting there watching it. He knows he's in the knowing realm, and he lives there. That's the part of you that knows. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an unction, the Bible says, from the Holy One, and you know all things. Wah. Prophesy. I got to tell you about this church I've been going to off and on lately. It's really kind of different. I kind of like it, you know, kind of cool. But I go in there and visit sometimes. But anyway, it's a blast. These people are definitely unique. And so I'm loving it. But all right. Anyway, so there you go. So our spirit man, last night we talked about that, how real prayer connecting with your spirit man, your soul, the part of you that doesn't understand that, but my understanding is unfruitful. My understanding that is unfruitful part of you. That's because your understanding it doesn't know. That's what that's saying. You just don't know. Your understanding, the soul, just doesn't understand it. Doesn't know. That's what that's saying. But your spirit man, right, when I pray in tongues, 14:14, my spirit man prays. That's what happens when you pray in tongues. And there's no, you don't pray in tongues like, what do I do now, Dad? It's like it knows what to do. It knows what's going on. And it's telling your soul, it's telling you, and the reason you have to have, we're going to talk about this later too, about how the interpretation works.
so you can understand that. So to simplify it and to quit making it so complicated like we've all done before, or make it really simple so you can kind of connect to, a lot of times you're getting interpretation, you don't even know it. Yeah, we've talked about that a little bit before, but so in higher level information about this, isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. All right, so it's all simple stuff, stuff most of us know about, but I've never connected it like this, knowing that my spirit man is in a prayer place and praying all the time, but not praying questions, praying answers, interceding answers for me. Not interceding, is interceding in the answer realm. Christ is not interceding for us with questions. He's interceding with us with show them, reveal to them. You know, that's why Paul says, pray the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Christ Jesus, you know, for all of God's people, that we will have that. What is that? That's understanding what our spirit man already knows. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit man prays. Or when I pray in a tongue, my spirit man prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what's the whole purpose of prayer? That your soul connects with your spirit man, interprets what your spirit man is saying, gets to know who you really are. Your mind gets to know your spirit man, because your spirit man is in the image and likeness of Jesus, because he's seated with him, been created by him. Totally everything that your spirit man is all because of God Almighty through what Jesus Christ is on the cross of Calvary by the Holy Ghost. You need to get to know your spirit man. If your spirit man talks like this, Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. I tell you, spirit man talks, your soul goes, what was that? What does that mean? You know, does that mean I'm supposed to be in Israel? Hello? Well, listen to that word, Randy, and meditate on what it said. Christ is being exalted. You're on your way to heaven, and you're in Israel. You did. Is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. There's no question in any of that. There's nothing but answers. You see what I'm saying? Woo-ah! Wow. My Lord and my God. Y'all ever heard anything like that before? Well, you might have. I haven't. I'm just blown away. I'm like a little kid in a candy store going, Daddy, this is some great stuff. And I see you got a whole lot more, and I want it all. Woo! I want it all, baby. Give it all to me. I want it all. Don't want to leave nothing. Don't want to sin and call it far short of the glory. All right, let's take our callers now. Now that I've worked myself into a Holy Ghost rally over here, or whatever you want to call it, but love fest. All right. Let's do this thing. Okay. All right, let's go here. And all right, my first caller tonight, I'm going to kind of give you the lineup here. And you know you can get in early, right? If you don't know you can get in early, you need to find out because you can get in early. 15 minutes early, actually. Okay. Give me a second here. All right, so my first caller tonight is 912. And then we have 202. And then we have 972. We have 915. And we have 662. Then we have 325. And we have 863. 2. And then we have 585. And 912 again, 912 with a 318. Let's go to 912. Okay, 912. Yeah. That's 912, 318 with that one.
All right, then we have 214 with the 4-3. We have 720 and 682. 738. We have an 803. Then we have an 831. We have 478. Make sure all these have their hands up. Okay, 478 after that. And then we got 912. 769. And 503. And then 303, and 612, and that's the last one with their hand up. 903, you don't have your hand up. 573, you don't have your hand up. 863, 808, you don't have your hand up. 903, 619, you don't have your hand up. 863, 944, you don't have your hand up. 402, 533, you don't have your hand up. 111, you don't have your hand up. 608, 69, 60, you don't have your hand up. Okay, if you could hear all that, it went fast, but oh well. All right. Let's take our first caller tonight and see what's going on. All right, 912-398. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Paulette and Travis from Georgia.
Okay, Paulette. And Travis. All right, Paulette, thank you. Okay, Paulette and Travis. All right, thank you, Lord, for Paulette. And please don't let me forget about that, because you know me. All right, Paulette and Travis. All right, thank you, Lord, for Paulette tonight and Travis. We thank you, Lord, for Travis. We thank you, Lord, for the quickening of his spirit. I speak to his belly area right now, Travis's belly area, that there be a freedom and a liberty and a releasing and a loosening, God. Any grieving or sorrow that he has in his belly area, in his, you know, in your belly, you know, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, Travis. And so, you know, I sense God's just something freedom, some freedom in there. You know, like when I get, sometimes when I laugh a little bit, you know, or whatever, like I have a gut busting laugh. My gut seems to be freer and happier, and I'm happier. And, you know, I don't know what that is, but your gut is where, you know, your emotions and feelings and all that stuff are. Sometimes we get grieved over things. We've been hurt, or, you know, maybe we feel like we condemn ourselves for things we didn't do right or wish we would have done better. And so all that settles right down in there in that area, in your belly area. So I just loosen you right now into that liberty and freedom in Jesus' name, that you'll be able to walk free with Jesus in a way that you never have before. You walk in liberty at a whole other level. And that you'll find yourself being healed in that belly area, and every tentacle, every fiber of your belly to be loosened and unraveled. That's what I'm getting, unraveled in your belly area. So you can have not confusion, but have blessing, and freedom, and laughter, and joy, and peace, and restoration. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Paulette, Lord, we thank you for Paulette. God bless her, God. Open her up, Jesus, and cause her to know your ways and your will, Father. I thank you, Lord, for this teaching we did tonight about our spirit man praying and how it's connected. That language reveals what's going on in heaven. And we're going to find out ways how to find out what those things are being said so we can know with our understanding. So Paulette can walk in an understanding with God in her prayer time. But I sense a new anointing of prayer, because a new revelation of what real prayer is. We're learning more and more about that. I've been a prayer warrior for many, many years, Paulette, and I'm just learning tonight, you know, what I'm teaching on. I learned that today. I mean, I just connected some of that information today. I mean, some of that was just like brand new to me, like simple, but he's connecting all the parts and making them understandable. You know, it's amazing. And when we understand things, then we walk in it, right? And we all, want to walk in the glory of God, the blessed, what blesses God, what makes him happy. So I thank you, Lord, for that Paulette with God, that you make her pleasing, she will be pleasing with herself, pleasing with God, that she will love herself as her neighbor, as she loves her neighbor, Father, and that love for him, God, she will be blessed in that love for him, in Jesus' name. Amen, Paulette. Travis, good to have you guys. All right. All right, 202-722, who am I talking to, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right. Thank you very much, you guys. All right, good to have you. All right, Daryl. All right, and Nicole. All right, Daryl Paul, it's good to have you tonight. Always good to have you, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the power of persuasion, God, that that not only will you, you know, when we persuade, Paul says he was persuading people. He was always persuading people, you know, to the gospel. He was persuasion. He was a very persuasive person. Very, very persuasive, very, he could touch people with information. He could touch people with, you know, just saying what they needed. And when you talk to people, Daryl, about what they need, like Paul did, like others, it touches it. When you touch people with what they need, you're touching them at their greatest core. We can have two people can have a conversation, and one person can touch the person and just say things that they need, you know, and the other person just says things, just says anything, everything, maybe be good conversation, but not really touching what you need, you know. So touching, be able to touch people and meet needs and fulfill needs. And, you know, that's what good conversation is. It's not just talking to be yakking to have fun, but it's connecting to fulfill and meet needs and, you know, share and, you know, communicate. So I thank you, Lord, for that with Daryl Paul, that his ability to do that and communicate and open up to that more and more all the time, where he can, when he speaks to people, he speaks to them, they walk away feeling like they got fed or they got, yeah, okay, I think I understand, or I feel better, I feel fulfilled or something. Yeah, in Jesus' name, open him up to flow in that, God, at the highest level, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Nicole, God, we thank you for Nicole. We thank you, Lord, for the whole realm of her spirit man, and the Holy Spirit, and all the things that she's doing, God, Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father with her, what she's doing now, what's going on, and how you're confirming to her she's being led by you, God, and how that just leads to one thing to another, and then, you know, pretty soon we find ourselves in a whole zone with God that we've never known before, never seen before. Like new places, new traces, new places. Yeah. And so I thank you, Lord, for that, that you're confirming to her. And because we all battle and struggle with why aren't I doing more of this and better at that and, you know, on and on. We all do that. And we should be to a certain degree. You know, because we're asking, our soul asks questions. Our soul wants to know, what do I do now? That's what it does. And if it's not asking, there's something wrong. If you're not hungry, there's something wrong. When you're hungry, that means you're healthy. Right, so it's like we're asking questions because we're hungry, and so, you know, so that whole part of you that is getting those things, some of those things confirmed, you know, okay, God, you are with me, you know, you are really actually with me, like the whole thing about the Antichrist teaching thing, and you're doing that on the 4th, and then we come out, you know, after years and years, and confirming who that is. I mean, come on, that was mind-boggling. That just connected you, you know, those things, you're going to find, God connecting you, that he's connecting you. It's not about whether people are connecting you or not. God uses people, but, you know, yeah, to show you that God is connecting you to, you know, hey, confirmation. I started doing this on the 4th. Randy, you know, brought forth the name of the Antichrist. He's been keeping it private for, 10 years or more. And all of a sudden, boom, right after I say, hey, woo, wow, amazing, amazing, amazing. So thank you, Lord, that you're confirming her spirit man is being led by you, and she's, and her soul is obeying and listening. Amen. All right. Very cool. All right. Thank you, guys. 972-695. Can I talk to you from, please?
Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
All right, you guys, good to have you. All right, Terrence and Tanisha. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha, Father. Thank you, Lord, that for Terrence, God, tonight, that you are, stirring him, God. You are raising him, like you're raising him. There's a raising going on. You know, people put us down. I've been put down by a lot of people. I don't think they did it. Everybody did it on purpose, exactly. They just thought they were putting me in my place and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, maybe they were. I don't know, but it didn't feel very good. It didn't seem right to me. And so for God to be able to, you know, start raising me up meant that he was showing me that he was leading me. He was showing me that he was guiding me. He was showing me that, you know, despite what anybody else says or thinks, that you are helping me. It doesn't mean we don't need people. It just means that that God's confirming when I'm confident that I'm walking with God, you know, I don't need people in the same way. I need them in a different way, right? I need them. That's when you start finding people to connect with that are walking with God too. And then we start all walking together. And there's a comfort. There's a strengthening in that. There's a continual confirmation that God is with you. God is blessing you. And so thank you, Lord, for that raising up realm, God, where you're raising. Just like a father raises a son, you know, like the father raising you. He is raising you. Like Paul the Apostle, you know, goes out into the wilderness for three and a half years, and all by himself. And God taught him out there. Like God was raising him. Yeah, raising him. Amen. All right, Tanisha, thank you for Tanisha tonight. God, thank you for the way you've been guiding her and leading her. God, it's the way you're showing people here at PGN that they've been led by you is amazing, guided by you, following that 1244 thing. Well, it's just, Tanisha, you know, some people don't know it, but that night on the show, you know, we talked at the 1244, which is when you text me on Thursday, which is at noon, 1244 p.m., and asked me, the queen has died, King Charles is about to be king or is king or whatever, and you think it had something to do with the Antichrist, you know, I think you're basically asking what I thought about it, and I said, yeah, well, you know, I didn't know how to answer because I was like, well, I could have, you know, I can't talk about that yet much, and so I sent you a text back saying, okay, well, we're going to talk about it, and so that thing, you and others, you were kind of the first one, I think, that asked me that. Something similar to what the other ones asked. And so I took off with that, and I started thinking, yeah, you know, they're friends, the queen and the family are friends. That doesn't mean that they're evil, because these people are just regular people. They're bankers. Bankers, you know, are wealthy. Bankers are influential. Bankers, but that doesn't mean that they're, you know, make sure that everybody understands. We're not saying the queen is evil. The Rothschilds are there, right? That doesn't have to do with anything. The fact that they all know each other. And when that timing with all that, and you asking me that, it just opened up this thing. It was at 1244. So long story short, at the end of the show, you know, I just shut off the show when I get through, you know, when I'm tired or I'm through or whatever. And I shut it off. I wasn't paying attention. I knew it was about 1230 or something like that, somewhere around there. I don't pay attention to what time it is all the time, off and on, I will. And I got off, and Cynthia from Mississippi, who listens, you know, with us, and she texted me right away. She said, Randy, did you know that your show ended at 1244? And God is my witness, y'all. I went, oh my God, that's amazing. Wow. And that was, you know, for you, Tanisha, that was for you. I did not, God knows. I did not do that on purpose. That was not planned. I didn't have to do me doing anything. It was just the Holy Ghost, man. It was amazing. And had Cynthia not texted me, I would have never even known it. Never even known it. Yeah. So anyway, it's really, she documented it too. She documented that. She sent that to me. She sent a picture of her text and sent it to me, proving the time and everything. So that's the documentation. If you want that documentation, we'll get it to you. So awesome. So God is just, you know, doing things, man. He's showing that I'm with you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. PGN has a purpose. PGN is going somewhere. We're all in it together. And being guided by the Lord, and so you're right there, and you're part of it, and just connecting you to the Lord, and to, you know, you being led by Him, it's just literally amazing. All right, to feed my people, Tanisha, feed my people, and then we got to feed them what we learn, feed them what we're growing in,
915-248. Who am I talking to your phone, please?
Prophet Randy, this is Daniel and Carmen from Texas.
Oh, y'all slipping in there together, huh? That way we just get one thing going on, makes it a little bit easier. That's awesome. All right, Daniel and Carmen. Woo, cool. I felt an anointing when he said that. I did, honest to God. I wouldn't lie or exaggerate. If I did exaggerate, I could come back and correct it, right? I'm not exaggerating. I feel an anointing right now. It just came all over me, in my belly area, kind of on my arms. This is Daniel and Carmen. Anointing, boom. Yeah, boom, together, boom. Anointing for together. Woo! Yeah, anyway, I'm sorry, y'all. It just stirred me up, man. The anointing just stirred. I don't know. Wow, that's amazing. All right, so there's an anointing there, right? The combination team. There you go, combination team, whatever that means, I don't know. Combination team, combination. You know, I got to tell you about what happened with Daniel. I forgot to tell you all this testimony, man. This is so amazing. Daniel had caught, was it last Thursday or last Wednesday or something? I think it's last Thursday. I prophesied over his offering, right? And in the offering, I prayed over him, and I saw some oil being put on, like shepherds put oil on their sheep, you know, to keep the bloodsuckers, what I call it in the word. I said, Daniel, I see shepherds put oil on the sheep's head to keep the bloodsuckers. And I kept saying something like, the bloodsuckers, you know, the bloodsuckers sucking the life out of you and emotionally and whatever, I remember what I always said, so I kind of thought, well, that was kind of odd, you know, kind of cool, but kind of odd. Well, Daniel texts me. He doesn't listen to the word on Thursday night. He listened to it, I think, the next day or whatever it was. Anyway, so he texts me. He said, Randy, you're not going to believe this. He said, you know, you gave me that word about the blood sucking and being protected from it. And he said, I had a dream that very day or earlier that morning on Thursday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning. And early Thursday morning, and he says, I had a dream Thursday morning. And before you prophesied that to me, he said, I had this dream like I was in a forest or in the woods or something, and these massive, a whole bunch of mosquitoes, a whole cloud of mosquitoes were trying to like wrap my legs, and but they couldn't get on my legs. They couldn't touch me because something was protecting me. And he said, that just can help me understand what my dream meant, you know, like the bloodsuckers. Because that's what the mosquitoes, you know, they're bloodsuckers. And I kept telling him, I see bloodsuckers trying to suck the blood. I said, but the oil from the anointing is going to protect you. And he said, that dream, that's kind of what happened. It was his legs, I think. And he had shorts on. And so they were going after his legs. And they couldn't touch his legs. And I think he said there was like a cloud of mosquitoes. And he said, man, Randy, so that bless the Lord Jesus, because that was amazing. And I went, dude, that is amazing. God is watching over you, and he's showing you, anointing you, pointing you, and blessing you, amen, and combining, connecting you together. Like you and Carmen being connected together, like this is so beautiful and so glorious and so awesome how God is anointing and appointing. He appoints us to people. He appoints people to be with people, right? He appoints that. It's an appointment from heaven. And when it's an appointment from heaven, it's a whole different thing, y'all. You know that. So thank you, Lord, for those appointments. There with the anointing again, right to my right leg and my right back. My anointing just, woo, there's an anointing on this. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that anointing and appointing, the appointments that we have, divine appointments. God, I don't know how you brought them together. I don't know how they're friends. I don't know how this all connected, how this beautiful thing happened, but it did, and we thank you for it. Maybe they'll tell us about it sometime. But what a beauty, beauty, beauty. What a beautiful thing. And Jesus, would give you the glory and the honor and the praise, God, for every step that they've taken that united them together on the pathway, like this new car that I saw with you. Remember that, Carmen, months ago, maybe months and months ago? I saw like a new vehicle. Well, this could be considered a new vehicle in a sense, a new vehicle as far as, you know, to, you know,
minister with, like a new ministry, like a vehicles that usually represent ministries. And so I saw this new, so this may be that new thing. I don't know. That's what I'm wondering about. But maybe you can remind me of some of those words. They were amazing. Anyway, welcome to the anointing appointments, the anointed appointments. Amen. You guys are awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for God is so glorious, and he is so awesome. He's anointing and appointing. He's appointed you to be together, and you are. And it's what's for the future. Amen. It's that new vehicle, that way, new way of expression, a new way of doing things. So where one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. Amen. All right. 662-806. Can I talk to your friend, please?
This is Cynthia from Mississippi.
All right, Cynthia. Good to have you tonight. All right. Let's go here. Thank you, Cynthia. All right. And so Cynthia is the one I was talking about that texted me after I got off the show on Thursday. Was it Thursday? Monday. When was it? Not Monday. Yesterday. I'm getting it all mixed up, man. Was that yesterday? When yesterday that was? Whatever that was. And I think it was Monday. Yeah, it was Monday. Okay. Woo! Too much stuff going on for me, y'all. I'm like having a hard time keeping up with all this stuff. There's so much stuff going on. And so Cynthia's the one that texted me when the show ended and said, you know, the show, you know, because we were talking about Tanisha's, the thing with Nicole, 1244, and all the connections with the information and the timing and all that. We talked about that on the show. And that became part of the whole show, right? 1244. And then we ended the show exactly 1244, and not by me, but by the Holy Ghost. And Cynthia was the one watching, paying attention. She said, Randy, you just closed the show. It's at 1244. I went, just blown away. I went, no way. That's what I used to say. No way. Oh, my God. This is amazing, dear Jesus. We'll give you the glory. And that's what happened, literally. And Carmen and Cynthia was the one that did that. So thank you, Cynthia, for doing that. That was such a blessing to me and made me feel, you know, even, you know, more confirmation about timing. Because so that's your word tonight, about timing, right? So like with you, you'll realize that sometimes there's timing. Like I've had the Antichrist name for years and years and years, right? And I could have sold a book and made millions off of it, maybe, or hundreds of thousands. I don't know. I could have done that, I guess, but that wasn't why I was holding back. I was selling a book, but I was waiting for the timing. And so part of the whole show on Monday was about timing of how everything was working and happening. And the Bible says that the Antichrist is revealed in his time, you know, at a certain time. That can be unveiled until that right time. And so, wow. 1244 was all of that time. And when you confirmed that, I mean, that was just shocking. And God just is so there's something with you about timing. Something with you about timing. And God is quickening and showing you that you have your eye on the time, on the times. You know, God's going to show you the time. You're going to get timing on the times. Because you're like you were watching, you paid attention. You were on, or some people would have never even paid attention to that, you know, whatever. But you just happened to, you said that the Lord showed you that I might end the show at 1244. Maybe you said I would. And so you were watching for that, right? And so you said the Lord told you that. And so sure enough, this is my, I lie not. I did not stop the show at 1244 on purpose. And God knows that. I have to say this because it's so hard to believe. People have a hard time believing the supernatural. Well, that's why, like Paul the Apostle, used it four times in the Bible. Four times in the Bible, Paul the Apostle said, "In God I lie not, in Christ I lie not." Four times, very specifically, said that. So Paul said it, you know, to convince people about things that he's telling the truth. It's because it's so amazing. So thank you, Lord, for that. That timing thing with Cynthia. The whole thing about timing and her eyes on the time. You're going to show her eyes on the times and the season. The disciples asked Jesus, are you going to restore Israel at this time? And he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. and then the Holy Spirit comes, and then he starts showing us, you know, things, times and seasons, the signs of the times, the signs of the seasons. And so God's really going to show you that and open you up to that whole realm. All right. Awesome. All right, Cynthia, God bless you. Hope that makes sense. 325-280, who we're talking to from, please.
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. Good to have you, Chris, my brother. Thank you, Lord, for Chris. Thank you, Lord, for just being a part of PGN and being a part of what's going on and being a part of learning and growing and how God works and how human beings and how God works with human beings. Because if we don't connect with how God works with human beings, if all we know is, you know, God does stuff, but we don't know how he works with human beings, then we miss out on the whole process, and we don't understand things. We get impatient. I know I've gotten impatient many times. Why? Because, you know, I didn't understand that sometimes God has to work through people. Sometimes these people are imperfect, right? I'm imperfect. Sometimes, you know, I might be late on doing something and delaying some of God's stuff to a certain degree. Now, if it was sovereign timing, it wouldn't make any difference what I did or what I didn't do, right? Sovereign timing works no matter what. Sometimes people are waiting for a breakthrough on something and they're going like, you know, when somebody obeys God, they may delay a little bit, arguing and fighting with God and whatever. So we have to understand sometimes that because sometimes things don't happen right on time because there can be hindrances. Even spiritual hindrances, like what happened with Daniel and Gabriel, right? 21 days there was a delay. The 10 virgins, it says that when the bridegroom, they were waiting, they were there to meet the bridegroom, right? There was a delay, it says. So sometimes there are delays because sovereign things are different. That's going to happen no matter what. When God says, you know, a timing and his sovereign word, that's going to happen no matter what happens, no matter what anybody does. You can't mess with that. But there's some things in the human realm, things going on and timing and that kind of thing. And learning that when God's working with people, we have to be patient. That's where we learn patience and kindness and forgiveness and understanding that God's got to work with people. Sometimes we have to help people work their faith. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not everybody's faith just works automatically. Sometimes you have to preach and learn how to talk by the Holy Spirit and say something that ignites that person's faith. Amen. I've had people had to work with me when I got when I've had breakthroughs in my life, you know, and they had to talk to me and finally they, you know, I should have gotten it right away, but you know, if everything would be perfect all the time, but it wasn't. They had to work with somebody who was ignorant, didn't know, and once I got it, then I connected and it was done. So sometimes we have to preach until people get it. We don't know when they're going to get it always. So. But with God, when God does things, you know, in the sense of sovereignty, you know, there is no, you know, people can get in the way and stop it because God's sovereignty, he just has a way of doing it without needing human beings to even agree with him about it, always, right? But the everyday things with God and how things work, why marriages can get messed up, why relationships with children can get messed up, why relationships with bosses can get messed up, why relationships with ministry, why relationships with political things can get messed up, because people can mess up stuff. So we have to realize that and be patient and pray and say, okay, God, that got delayed a little bit, but, you know, we're not giving up. We're not stopping. We're going to keep on praying. You know, we're going to keep believing God. And just like even Daniel in the spiritual realm, he kept praying. He kept praying, and when Gabriel finally met, he said, that was a 21-day delay. He said, God heard you the very first day, right? So with God, it was already done. Well, then why did it happen? Because there was a spiritual, the angel was bringing the message, and he had warfare. And so Daniel was praying, you know, things were going on. They finally fought. Michael the archangel came and helped, and finally broke through and helped him get the answer to Daniel. But it was delayed. At the angel's admission, right? God heard you the first day. It was sent to you right then, right? But since we're working with, like, happened with Daniel, also when you're working with people, sometimes there are delays. So we have to learn to be patient and be like Daniel. Keep on praying. Keep on believing God. Yeah, it should have been there. It came the very first day, Chris. It was released the first day you prayed, the first day you asked. But guess what? It had to work through three people.
the more people, the more it can be delayed, possibly. And that really is the way it works. You know, Paul said, I would have come to you sooner, but Satan has hindered me. I mean, I think he was going to, what, Thessalonica or somewhere. He said, I would have come early, but Satan hindered me. So can we be hindered? Can things be hindered? Yes. But the thing is, we hang in there. We're patient. We keep pressing through, you know, and believe in God. Amen. All right. What that's about, I don't know, but that is awesome information. My Lord and my God, that is awesome. Awesome info. I hope that helped, whatever, so you can understand things. Cool, man. All right. Chris, thank you. All right. 863-268. You want to talk to Reed from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki. Could you pray for my mom, please?
Sue. Okay. Sure.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. Nikki. So, let's see. I don't know why this happened to me. I just, you know, what that there's some song that some country guy sang, a boy named Sue. And then in the story, who sang that song? Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash sang that song, A Boy Named Sue. And it was about a story about how that his father knew that the son was going to have to really learn to be toughened up. So he named him Sue. Where these thoughts come from is beyond me. My boy named Sue. And so, because he was called Sue, of course, the guys in you know, junior high and elementary, whatever, in high school made fun of him. Hey, Sue, what you do, Sue? And he's a guy, you know, the boy. A boy named Sue. And Johnny Cash sang that song years ago. So I don't know what I thought about it. That just kind of hit me when you heard, we prayed over Sue a few times, right? You know, why I got that, I don't have a clue, except A.B.'s. The song is about, you might look at the song just to see if it speaks anything, maybe in detail, I don't know, but Johnny Cash, Boy Named Sue, I don't know what the name of the song is, but it's about a boy named Sue, and his father named him Sue, right, to toughen him up so he could be tough and prepared for, you know, how life is tough. So thank you, Lord, for that with Sue. We thank you for helping her come through, that she can be tough, Lord, in the right way, not tough in the wrong way, but tough in the right way. And in Jesus' name, and all the things that, all the abuses that she's taken, all the things that have happened to her, God, that you will heal her, you will touch her, you will bless her, God, and give her freedom, God, so she can walk in peace with God and with man. Amen. And whatever hinders her and causes her mind to go places that she doesn't want it to go, help her. Help her rescue that, Father. Help her bring that under, in Jesus' name. Bring peace to that situation, Father. Hallelujah. Blessing to it. Amen. Charles, Lord, we thank for Charles, for that guy. We thank you, Lord, for subduing the enemy, for subduing things. Lord, subdue means to put underfoot, I think. Put under your foot. Yeah. And Jesus put it under his heel. Satan under his heel. Satan's head under his heel, I think. Is that what it was? Satan's head under his heel. And God's showing you that realm of authority about how to things under your foot. You know, Satan crushed, Jesus Christ crushed Satan's head. Remember that in the movie, The Passion of the Christ? Yeah, where Jesus crushed Satan. That was such an amazing movie. That man is amazing. My God, thank you, Jesus, for people who know how to make a movie. Oh, my Lord and my God, that man is amazing. Anyway, so there you go. Now, to crush the head of Satan with your heel, your feet, you know, with your family, with your fighting for your wife, fight for your family, fight for your faith, fight for the people you minister to, fight for your finances, all that. How to put those things at your under your heel. Crush Satan's head under your heel. Amen. All right, Nikki. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki. God, we thank you, Lord, for that the subduing of and conquering, that conquering spirit, that being a king, of being a ruler. Rule and reign with Christ, to conquer with him, to know that she's more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror means that's already been done. We just come to understand that it's been done. Like we pray in the Spirit, but our understanding is unfruitful. Unfruitful means our understanding doesn't quite get it yet. So sometimes there's some areas we need to have our minds to become fruitful. You know, he that prays in an untongued pray, his spirit man prays, but his soul, his mind is unfruitful. So that's why he says you got to find a way to understand what your spirit man is saying, that your mind can become starting to come in agreement, understand it, come in agreement with it, and become fruitful. I see God doing it with you in the realm of authority. And, yeah. Amen. Yeah. You just listened to the teaching tonight. I'm sure maybe you did, but, there's a lot of information in that that is pretty cool, in my opinion. Stuff I've never heard or seen before. So, amen. God give you understanding that you need on certain things. All right? So you can be healed and touched and blessed and connect. That connection. 585-436.
Hi, it's Anonymous.
Hi, Anonymous. Anonymous, hang on a second here. All right. Anonymous, thank you for being with us. And thank you, Lord, for that, the spirit of care in her, God, that cares, that, you know, the cares of the Lord. There's something to the cares of the world and the cares of the Lord. When we carry the care of the Lord, the burden of the Lord, that means we care about what he says. We're not a man pleaser, but we're a God pleaser, right? We don't let people put burdens on us, to burden us with questions and endless questions and endless stuff and endless confusion. Endless, you know, we live in the answer realm, not an endless question realm. We have questions, but they get answered, right? And so God's showing you how to only take the cares, the things that God is asking you to do, not what people ask you to do, but what God is asking you to do. You take on the care of the Lord to do what he cares about, what he's showing you, and open you up to that in Jesus' name. And thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name, bringing that about, where she will have confirmation, Father, of those have confirmation on what pleases you, that she will feel pleased when she's doing your stuff and won't feel pleased when she's not. That's one of those simple ways, Anonymous, to know you're pleasing God is whether you feel pleased or happy. You know, I can tell. I taught this to kids one time. The Lord showed me a simple way to explain to them whether you're pleasing to God or not. Do you feel pleasure with yourself? Right? Do you feel pleased? Or do you feel not pleased? You know, I can do something that may be good, but it may be God. And I walk away thinking I should be feeling good about it, and I feel kind of like, ugh, about it. What's there with that? Well, you know, I want to do what God wants me to do. Not just what seems right, but what is right. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is, you know, not good. So God's showing you how to bring pleasure to him, what brings pleasure to him, what will bring pleasure to you. When God is pleased, you're pleased. That's one of the ways that we know. Her spirit man can get grieved, right? And when it's grieved, it means our spirit man is the only part of it that knows the perfect will of God. And when we're grieved in our spirit, that means something ain't right. Need to find out what it is. All right? So God's really showing you how to walk in that area and then perfect that. It's usually, all right. All right, 912-318. Do I talk to you, please? Hello? Are you there? Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my friend tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you for Chandra tonight. And blessing her, God. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for capturing her heart. God is giving you a net to throw, like a net to go fishing, a net for a boat, net breaking, boat sinking load. Maybe the net won't be broken, right? a net to catch things, to catch, you know, sometimes you use net to catch, you know, enemy animals that are, you know, prey that are trying to do something, you know, they put a net out and they step on it and it catches them, or some kind of a trap, or some kind of way to stop. So I see God giving you a net. A net has many different purposes. It can catch fish. It can catch, you know, things for provision. It can catch the enemy. It can, you know, Jesus said that in the net, they brought the net and they separated the good fish from the bad. So it's about gathering together things. Sometimes you could, in that net, you catch, not everything is good. So you throw away the bad and you keep the good. They would throw away the bad fish, keep the good fish. That's part of the process of finding things. Not everything we always gather in the net and capture things is always perfect, you know. So sometimes we throw things back. And so God's showing you how that works. Jesus had 12 disciples, but one of them was, a betrayer. He was a devil, you know. Even though he chose him, it's not the same thing, but in a sense it is. That, and showing you how in the kingdom of God, how sometimes that's how things work. Sometimes you just end up throwing things back. Well, if the kingdom of God is still perfect, yeah, the kingdom of God is perfect, but 1 second. But we are not. And the process of catching and harvesting and all that, you know, the wheat and the tares, you know, harvest time, then he separates the wheat from the tares. So God can show you the whole process about harvest, and how imperfect it can be and how, you know, yet it's still it's part of the process. Amen? So you don't get frustrated like some of us do, like me, and think like you're doing something wrong or something's wrong. No, it's just the process of the kingdom of God. It's the process of how things work. In every crowd, there's, you know, somebody there, maybe two or three there, depending on how many people there, that are going to cause problems. They're going to be messed up, you know. Catherine Coleman had a powerful healing ministry, Sandra, but she drew some really kooky people. I mean, kooky, they were regular people, but they were caught up into, you know, all kinds of supernatural things. They were drawn to her because she was so supernatural, right? Well, her supernatural was of Jesus. Theirs was like, you know, kind of very questionable, say the least. So she would gather in, you know, all kinds of people. And yet she learned how to, you know, it didn't hinder her, stop her or whatever, or make her feel like she was doing something wrong. You're drawing in some bad, some people who are into, you know, all kinds of stuff. Well, so that's part of the process. And then we just, you know, when the time comes, you know, God separates it out and we enjoy the harvest. Harvest time. Four, you want to talk to Ruth, please? Hello? Okay. All right. All right, 2 and 4, 4 through 4. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of grace, God, the spirit of grace working and showing, you know, that we give favor. Jesus gave favor to people. He loved people who didn't love him back. He blessed people who didn't bless him. He said, bless those who curse you and do all manner of evil against you. You know, do good to them. Be a blessing to them, give grace to them. So that's what happens to protect you from a lot of things, is that we give, we bless, and do good, because we don't always know exactly, you know, whether we're blessing something, you know, that's going to turn around. Sometimes when you bless those who curse you, it turns around. Sometimes when you bless those who curse you, they turn into a Judas. You know, Judas was a betrayer, and so even though Jesus called him friend and all that stuff, he ended up being a betrayer. And so it was, he was part of the kingdom. So God showed you how to give grace to all and be kind to all, and then let God kind of work out, who he's going to deal with, who he's going to judge, you know, what's really going on in their heart.
And so that way we don't have to worry too much. We don't try to pick out who to love and not to love. We just love, God loves everyone. Even when we're sinners, he loved us, right? So God really showing that love realm of where you love people who are in sin of all kinds. Amen. Giving you that pure love from the Father that you can love with, the pure love. All right? All right, 720-819. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Jeff Newkey in Colorado.
All right, y'all. Good to have you. Thank you for being with us. All right. Thank you, Lord, for that compound. Compound? What's a compound? Hang on a second. You know, somebody mentioned a compound to me one night not long ago, but it's like a place of store things, like, you know, five-car garage type, you know, five-car garage, five levels high, you know, for car, you know, like a compound. Like somehow you guys are going to be a part of, you know, a place that's, you're going to own it or whatever, and it's going to be like, you know, a compound. I mean, I'm sure I can find the exact word compound there. Waco. No. Of course not. That's funny though. You know, like a place that is, you know, like a big place, like a place that, you know, a large place, like a large building. I don't know what a compound is. Exactly, it is. Let's find it here. Okay. I don't know what's going on. Compound, okay. Two or more parts to it, elements or ingredients, having or involving two or more actions or functions, something formed by. The combination of different, you know, like buildings and different things. You know, construction, combining the buildings, you know, like, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know what that is about, but there you go. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Sharon says, Sharon from New York says, a compound is a large place a lot of people can take refuge and live. It can be where many people, where many things can be going on, but is secure. Okay. There you go. Sharon, you saved me again, girl. Compound is a large place a lot of people can take refuge and live. It can be where many things can be going on, but is secure. All right, Jeff and Yuke, whatever going on with that, hallelujah, awesome. You guys are going to build it, buy it, something, be a part of it, have it, own it, they have elevators in it, that kind of thing. You know, like I want to say like a 5-story or something. I don't know if it's 5-story literally, but something like that. And yeah, place to have things going on, but secure, like you said. I didn't know that, so thank you, Sharon, for that. Somebody had given me something like that before, the word compound, but as soon as you got off, immediately the word compound came right to me exactly, precisely. So thank you, Lord, for that anointing to find, to seek. I know you guys are trying to sell your house. But thank you, Lord, for helping them do that, helping them discover the new place, find the new place, wherever that's at, whether it's in Thailand or here or wherever you have it. I don't know. I haven't worried about any of that yet, but thank you, Lord, for opening that up to them. And having their eye on that and being able to find a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. To create and an involvement of several different people, several different things, and a combination of people. Like it, also a compound is like, you know, compound within itself, like the word, is also an elements, combining elements. So it's like you combining different things together. You know, farming things like seeds. Like, yeah, I don't know what all. I don't even know what that would be, but yeah, like a storehouse, like, you know, yeah. Yeah, well, thank you, Lord, for that. Woo! Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for opening that up right now by the power of God. In Jesus' name, open up, and Lord, provide your provision. Let them not forget their vision. Provide the provision for the vision. Provide the provision for the vision, the provision for the vision, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 682-738, who am I talking to, Rochelle, please?
Rochelle from Texas.
Rochelle?
LaShawn.
Okay. LaShawn, thank you, LaShawn. LaShawn?
LaShawn.
Oh, LaShawn? LaShawn?
Yes, LaShawn from Texas.
I gotcha. Okay, thank you. LaShawn, oh my gosh. What am I? I did not know that was her. All right, awesome. LaShawn, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for LaShawn. Thank you, Lord, for that power to create, the power to create. And you know, when God gives a word, you know, and we get word information. Word can be information about anything. It can be about buying a house, getting a car, creating a business, whatever it is, the power to create. And when you realize that God, as you already know, God is a creator. So sometimes he will create, sometimes he'll just lead to something that's already made. Sometimes he puts information together, and that information together creates information. Information create words, create what the word was created by words. Sometimes we find, you know, God blesses us to get things that we need through a combination of words. You know, like a combination of for a recipe makes, you know, cornbread or something. It's different things put together, and so thank you, Lord, for showing her how to connect all those things, God, in Jesus' name, and how to connect all the different elements, all the different, like the anointing oil in the Old Testament had 5 different elements to it. You know, putting those things together, causing unity, causing, you know, the right amount of each thing to put together in one container, and that was end up being a thing of God that even said you can't anoint anybody with this but the priest. You know, it was holy. So there's holy elements, there's holy things that God, information, things, God puts together, words, that they create a holy atmosphere, a holy thing. Amen. In Jesus' name, Lord, open that up to her and show her how to be like a Holy Ghost scientist. You know, scientist, you know, like with me, God invent things through me, but he, you know, shows me how things work. And, ways, about the ways of God. Learning about the ways. When you learn the ways of God, you know how certain chemistry things, how they work, because you understand what that chemical does. That chemical, that chemical, that chemical. can create a great, you know, drink that you can drink that will make you be healthy, you know. Like I have one of those. So God can put things together. Yeah, and the mixing together of elements. I don't know what that was. Awesome. Anyway, sorry I didn't get your name there, son. All right, 803-991. Who would talk to Ruth from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela.
Yeah.
All right, good to have you tonight. All right, Angela, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for that working out her salvation with fear and trembling, where we work out things. You know, it's like you can have something inside your spirit, man, that God's trying to reveal, and he teaches you how to work it out to get it out into the open. Like we talked tonight in our teaching time about the spirit man prays mysteries. Our spirit man, we pray in tongues. It's a mysterious language, but when you get the interpretation, it's long and mysterious, you know, because it gets worked out. You know, things get worked. God's showing you how to work things out, like how to pray things out, how to talk things out, how to get things out, how to loosen things out, how to get things out of your spirit, man, that so your mind can understand and so you can know, connect things and put things together in Jesus' name, where there's no lack of things. Thank you, Jesus, for the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. There shall be no lack. Show her, God, how to enter into that place where there's no lack. No lack, God. And thank you, Jesus, for prospering her, Father, and that she will sometimes blessings get delayed. I talked about that with somebody else tonight. I think Chris from Texas, about how sometimes we have to realize that because we're working with people, we're working with angels, we're working with, you know, Daniel had that delay with Gabriel, 21 days. You know, I've had delays with things that God told me were supposed to be at a certain time, and they didn't come. You know why? Because God has to use people. People can get sick. Things can go wrong. And we have to be patient and understand, you know, and give God time to work, because he's dealing with, you know, like in Daniel's case, that was a holy spiritual thing. God sent the answer the very first day, Angela. It took 21 days for it to break through. There was a delay. And the angel said there was a delay. And he told him what the delay was. So we know there are delays. Paul said, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. Sometimes there's hindrance, so we have to really ask God to help us to be patient and knowing that he has sent the answer, but it's a matter of keeping on praying, keeping on believing is what keeps it from never arriving, right? Keeping on, keeping on. God, give you the strength and the courage on how to do that, how to walk in that, how to live in that. And I know you already do that already, of course, but God's going to increase that for you. Amen, because you've got a lot more coming to you. You can feel it in your spirit sometimes. You just don't know what it is. That's because it's coming to you. God's letting you know it's coming. It's been delivered. It may be hindered a few days or something, you know, pray. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. All right. Very cool. 818-860. Who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Ariel. Hi, Randy.
Oh, hi, Ariel. Hi. All right. All right, Ariel. Good to have you tonight. All right, as you know, we don't talk on Wednesday. We just minister. Thank you, Ariel, for being with us. All right, Ariel from California. So good to have you, girl. Wow, what a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for, I just heard the word consider. The word consider, you know. And, like, I remember when we talked about Job and how what he went through, and God says to Job, about Job, to Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? Why did God even say, have you considered my servant Job? Because Job was trusted by God. Even Satan said, yeah, I've been trying to whack him for a while, but there's a you know, a hedge around him, and I can't. But as soon as you remove it, he'll probably curse you to your face. God goes, no, I trust him. he's trustworthy. I'll remove it. He's not going to. And sure enough, he removed it. Things started happening. What did he do? Errol, he showed that he was trustworthy, because he fell on his face when he lost his stuff and said, yea, though God slay me, yet will I praise him. I mean, and God goes, see, told you. And the devil didn't have a clue what God had drawn him into. See, sometimes God draws the enemy into something. Hey, have you considered my servant Ariel? Because I trust her that she'll me no matter what. And he does that. He draws
Satan in because he wants to honor Job and bless Job and show Job off to all the angelic forces. Like, I got somebody over here I like. I got somebody over here I trust. So he draws in, goes through a hard time. What happens? Job proves himself to be faithful and loyal, prays for his friends, and gets double. So little did Satan know that God drew Satan in to break, you know, he gave him permission to do all that stuff, anything but kill him, right? And when he went to that strong battle, then, you know, God blessed him double. And that's, you know, so, yeah, so God, I think God's trying to say, I trust you. You know, when you go through battle, you go through struggles. When you've gone through losses and have whatever thing, just like, you know, what have you done when that happened? Well, Ariel goes, God, though you slay me, I will praise you. I don't care. I trust you. And I thank you, Lord, for that, her spirit, God, her spirit of, she has the spirit of Job. Job was a faithful, loyal, so faithful, so loyal that he knew that God knew that he could give Satan, not demons, Satan, the devil, and let him ransack his life because God trusted and used Satan to bring Job into the double blessing. You know, we don't have to go through the Job thing to do that. You know, God can, it can be different levels. We go through things, we go through loss, we go through struggle, we go through battle. And, you know, when we come through it, and then Job prayed for his friends, then he entered into that double ramp. And it's like God tricked the devil. He used him. I bet when the devil got through, he was probably cussing like a sailor. Sorry, no good, God. They like picked up, let me in. I mean, named him a few bad names. Probably some cuss words come from him, probably. You know, I can't believe he tricked me into, you know, that. That gum is high. Who does God think he is messing with me? God's just laughing, going, gotcha. Threw you in, sucker. Yeah, now my friend Job is blessed, very blessed. All right, anyway, there you go. I don't know what that's about, but cool. All right, 478-231. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Takeda from Georgia.
Oh, Takeda. Hi, Takeda. Okay, thank you, Takeda. Thank you. All right, Takeda, thank you. All right, Takeda, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for... Where am I at here on this thing? Right. Okay. I think I missed it once in a while. 818, I think I missed you, right? Did I miss you? All right, hang on. 818. 818, did I miss you? Are you there?
This is Ariel. Yeah.
Okay, Ariel, sorry. I had your number written down here wrong. I make a list of the name before, or the number before I did, so I can, in case somebody gets knocked off, I can find them. All right, Ariel, thank you. Now I got it right. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Takeda, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that that new place, Father, that opening, that new opening place. God, you're opening up a new place for her, a new place for her. That's a spiritual thing, an actual thing, but opening up a new place for you to dwell in, a larger place, like God brings us into a large place. Like we can be in a small place. If you're faithful in a small place, they bring you to a large place. They bring you to, they trust you with more. Everything we go through, you know, it's about, are we going to be trusted with a little bit? You know, Paul's not going to be content with little or a lot. You know, and the reason he could say that is because he went through it all. You know, some people do fine with a little, but they don't do fine with a lot. And they get a lot and they start going, well, you know, I love Jesus, but, you know, hey, they start doing a lot of their own stuff. Right, and that's typical of most people. So Paul, that's why Paul said, "I'm content with little or a lot, whatever." That he when you have a contentment about little, that's big. When you get content with big, that's even bigger, because a lot of people don't get content with big. They get greedy with big. You know, they get, you know, yeah, it's overwhelming. It's like they get, yeah. So God's showing you how to be content, to be blessed with little or be blessed with a lot. Because when you're content with a little, he can bless you with a lot. Then when he blesses you with a lot and you lose sight of that, you get back down to a little again, right? And then you get another chance to hit the big place, to hit the more open places, the bigger places, the more prosperous places. And if you're faithful and you maintain faithfulness in that blessed place, then he'll keep you there. But either way, you're content, right? So God's showing you that contentment realm, Takia, and Jesus' name, and blessing you with that so that you can move forward and be used by God. Amen. And some awesome ways. I'm getting my numbers messed up here. All right, 831, did I already talk to you, 831?
Not yet. Hi, Randy. It's Noelle in California.
Noelle, you know, boy, your number was trying to get messed up on me. Somehow that was trying to get away from me there, but I got it.
You got it.
It's like, right, we got it. Thank you, Noelle. All right, we love you, Noelle. We thank you for your heart for God and appreciate your love for God and your love for the blessing, what the real blessing is. God can show you what the real blessing is. The real blessing is, you know, like Jacob was already blessed, really. He had family. He had, you know, some wealth, but he realized there was something more, that he understood what his father walked in, that, you know, dad always had something. What is that? And so he wrestled with God and for the blessing. And he was so ready for the blessing. He was so ready for the blessing. He realized he needed it. He realized what it was. And he realized that he wasn't in that place yet. And so even though we can be blessed in many, he was already blessed in many ways. But you know what? He said, I want the blessing. I want the blessing. And so I see God really, you know, doing that with you and drawing you into that place of the blessing and wrestling with God and knowing you. Already, well, I know you already. You have that thing where I ain't giving up until I get it all. Yeah, I'm not giving up until I get, like David. David, you know, asked the priest, you know, Urim and Thummim, and says, "Should we go after, you know, our stuff?" And David and God and the priest said, "Urim and Thummim," and God answered to the Urim and Thummim, the stones, and said, "Yes, go after it." So he went after it. And he got it, and he got back even more. And then pretty soon he was king. He was king. And so, you know, there's something about going after the blessing. It's happened different. What happened with David in that sense, you know, he the thing that David did, you would think anybody would know that if the enemies came and robbed your house and took your stuff and you could go after them and find them, then you just go. You don't have to ask God about that, right? But, you know, David was different. He said, God, you know, I want your approval for this, you know, because I know that's mine. And they got it, and they stole from me, and I got the right to do it, but I want to have your permission. I want to know, what do you want me to do? You see, that's the way you are, Noelle. God's showing you to do that, walk in that place to where you seek after God about things that you know belong to you, and you have a right to go get them, but it's like, God, you want me to do that? Training you, Noelle, and showing you how to do that and walk in that. Just like Jacob. Jacob, you know, got the blessing. It's kind of a little bit different thing, but the same way. You know, he wasn't going to let go until he got the blessing. He knew the blessing was more than the money, because he had the money. He had the family. He had stuff. But it's like, you know, there was so much more. He felt the bigness of God in him. And he knew that bigness of God had to do with something more than just having a lot of great things and a lot of good things and being saved and being filled with the Holy Spirit. It was much more. There was something bigger and broader going on with his purpose. And so that what he got the blessing on was the purpose, the purpose of God, which was, you know, Jacob ended up having the 12 tribes, right? And then also had, you know, Jacob. Yeah, and then he had Joseph and Benjamin. Yeah, and so there was something bigger going on, and God changed his name to Israel. So Israel was the blessing thing. It's like you went from being a human being with what, 70 people, 50 people, 60 people, kids and family, and then he had cattle and all. So the blessing was that that's what he felt. He didn't know exactly what's going on, and he's asking the angel. He gets real nosy, you know. He asked the angel, "What's your name?" And the angel comes back at him and says, "What's it up to you? What do you need to know my name for?" You know, like, as I want to know your name, man. He was really just like going after the angel. He was like, "What's that? That's not none of your business." And so, because I don't think he ever told him what his name was, even after Jacob asked. But he was just like, Jacob was trying to find out everything he could, right? Because it was, there's something big about what's going on here, but I can't, you know, what is it? I don't know. What's your name? Where are you? What's going on? You know, I got this feeling that God's going to do something big with me, but, you know, I have a family. I have everything I need. I got money. I got stuff. But, you know, so he shows him in changing his name that now the whole nation of Israel is called Israel after him, right? And that was that beyond, exceeding, abundantly above he could think or even imagine. It was much more than just having some wealth and having some stuff and being blessed. He wanted the blessing. Some people get blessed, but they don't have the blessing. The blessing is the full 100-fold will of God. And so I thank you, Lord, for her wrestling with that. And, you know, and like, hey, man, just like Jacob found out that, you know, don't ask the angel's name, right? Forget that. He's not going to tell you. Well, you probably ask anyway, so whatever you want to do. You know, we just love that part of your heart that you're longing for that blessing, the blessing of God. And so what did he do? He didn't just tell him some prophecies, you know, so to speak. He changed his name. That was big with God. When you change somebody's name, then it was, you know, Jacob would have been okay, would have been known, but Israel is what everybody calls Israel, the people of God. You know, so it's a big vision. He felt it. He just wasn't sure what it was. And when he wrestled with God, that was the blessing that he got, and that he felt it. He just didn't know what it was. And God blessed him with it. All right, Noella. Noelle, Dree, who am I talking to you from, please?
Lindsay in Kansas.
Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, Lindsay. I'm trying to make sure I got it right. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Okay, Lindsay. Thank you, Lindsay. All right. Lindsay from Kansas. All right, Lindsay. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Jesus, for Lindsay, God, that you're breaking up fallow ground. You know, breaking up fallow ground. If you know what that is, do a search on it, breaking up fallow ground, what it means. And, you know, break up the fallow ground. And let's just go ahead and get a scripture on that. Break up the fallow ground. Give me a second here, please. All right, my computer just connected to the internet. I'll be right back. Just give me a few seconds here. There it is. All right, I think I got it. All right, break the fallow ground. Sow yourselves, Hosea 10, verse 12. Says, sow yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rains righteousness on you. Father, help us surrender to every past experience, every unhealed hurt,
I'm reading this right. I'm literally reading this off the internet. Unresolved issue and unmet need over to you. Yeah, that's a prayer they're praying. And this, I just did a Google search on break up the fallow ground, and this F-A-L-L-W ground. It's time to seek the Lord. It's a scripture. Time to seek the Lord. Sow your righteousness. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness on you. End of. There's a little prayer here that it has in here. It says, Father, help us surrender every past experience, every unhealed hurt, unresolved issue, and unmet need over to you. I think that pretty well sums that up. That is really awesome. And thank you, Lord, that fallow ground, God, they're breaking it up, and God, and crying out to you and believing you to show us what to do and how to do it. God, we give you the glory for my sister tonight, God, for Lindsay, God, that she is seeking your face and finding you, God. She is breaking up the fallow ground, the things that, you know, so she'll, when she, you know, when if you want the real blessing of God, Lindsay, you learn how to let God really do a work in your heart. I know you are ready, but you know, the deeper we let him go, the deeper our, you know, blessings go, the deeper our righteousness goes, so to speak. And where we, you know, Satan attacks us, but he can't take us down, right? In fact, everything he tries to attack us on, we get blessed double or get blessed better. You'd be blessed more. Because what Satan means for evil, God means for good. As long as we give it to him, right? Break up that fallow ground, yield it to him, surrender it to him. And then he blesses you and he calls you righteous and he says, I can trust you and God can trust you, Lindsay. Then he starts blessing you with that you need and also other people, what other people need. He'll bless you with what other people need so you can get it to them. Some people don't have the faith to get from God what they need and God will use other people to do it. Amen. So in Jesus' name, amen. All right. Really cool. Amen. Who am I talking to in front, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Andrika in Georgia. Can you pray for Andrika and Chris?
Andrika and Chris, yes. All right, Andrika.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're so welcome. You're welcome. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for Andrika and Chris. And thank you, Jesus, for making everything whole. God, you want to make things whole. Sometimes we get ready to break through into new areas. You know, we need breakthroughs. You know, when we grow together with God, you know, God wants us to grow together with those that we love. And so sometimes, you know, as we grow in together, we go through things together and so that we can grow together. In other words, when you go through things together, you're growing, you're going to grow together. When you're growing together, you go through things together and going through those things together, not getting stuck in them, not getting stuck in stuff, not, you know, saying, oh, I'm not sure if I want to move on with the blessings. Let's stay the blessing that we have. Let's make it, God wants to make that blessing full. He wants to cover you in every way and make sure you're connected to God in your relationships in every way so that nothing that Satan can come in and say, you know, this is not right, that's not in order, that's not the right play, that's not the right thing, where things are put in order so that God can bless you as much as he wants to bless you. He wants to fully bless you. So sometimes when God blesses me, he shows me things I need to put in order, like put this in order, put that in order. And when you get that in order, it could be a relationship thing, it could be a money thing, it could be you know, different things, whatever it is. And when I get that done, it says Elijah put the altar in order. When the fire fell, you know, with Jezebel and Ahab and all that stuff, and the cry of God, are you with us or what? He put the altar in order, the wood in order, the stones in order. And when he got it in order, you know, God likes things in order. Then the blessing came. then God poured out his glory, Andrika, on him. And, you know, so that's what we do. We go through that together as lovers, as friends, as, you know, so thank you, Jesus, that you will empower them to walk that walk. You know, let's both move forward together with God. Because, you know, one can move forward and the other one not. You know, that happens a lot in friendships and businesses and in marriages and in relationships. It happens a lot where one moves forward but the other is not. So we have to pray and believe God, because when you move together and you keep moving forward together, then your blessings can be bigger and greater, because what one puts 1,000 to 10,000, that agreement is important. So we thank you, Lord, for blessing that, caring for that, watching over that, causing those things to happen, God, so you can bless them. Bless Andrika in Jesus' name, and cause her to see and know, Father, how important putting things in order are to get ready for the future blessings. In Jesus' name, you're going to double their blessings, God. You want to double bless them. And, yeah, so help them, show them the strategy of putting things in order together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Awesome. Wow, awesome. Putting things in order. Every time God tells me to do that, I know something good is fixing to happen. 318, can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, this is Robin from Oregon.
Oh, hi, Robin. Hi, Robin, good to have you. Okay, Robin. Thank you, Robin. Yeah, I feel like God's going to pour on you the family blessing. Like there's the family blessing. Like, you know, when we need to be individually blessed and know that our relationship with God is good and we're walking with God and doing what God wants to do, and that we get that individual blessing. And then God takes it beyond that and he starts, you know, making it a family blessing. Behold, Psalms 133, well, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the oil, special oil that is poured out. And when you have that unity, you know, we don't always have to agree on everything all the time. We can agree to disagree, but we're in agreement, right? We love each other. Love binds us together even in our disagreements, because not everybody agrees on much of, on everything. So thank you, Lord, that you show her how to walk in that place of agreement, even when we're in disagreement, where love reigns, where love flows, and where love goes. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing her with that and encouraging her, increasing her, God, in the love realm and in that place of love and being blessed with love, God, that you increase and multiply her, Father, and that, you know, the family blessing, like the guy got put in jail. He was that, you know, when Peter and Paul got put in jail, I think it's something like this, the jailer, you know, Paul got broke out, or Peter broke out, whichever it was, and the jailer was going to kill himself. And he said, and Paul or Peter said, "Don't kill yourself. We're all right here. We're not running away." He said, "Well, you know, how do I get saved, man?" And he, so it says that he got saved and his whole family. So there's that family blessing, God. So the enemy tries to get in and bring division and strife and different things, because sometimes we don't know how to find agreement in love. Just disagree on things, but to find agreement in love, agreeing to disagree on stuff and being able to have that enough agreement where we have that unity, where God can pour up that oil and have the family blessing of unity in Jesus' name. And, so the oil can pour down on the whole body, the whole family, on the whole. I just keep seeing that this family blessing. Amen. And he's trying to rob that from you, and it's not going to happen. God is the devil's a liar, and God is of the truth, and the truth is what matters, and the truth sets us free. Amen. All right. 303-386. Can I talk to you real quick, please? Hello, I can't hear you. You might have you on mute or something, or maybe you're not talking to your phone. Hello, 303-386. 303-386.
Hello?
Yes. 303.
Mike and Veronica.
Okay, Mike. I just figured that out. Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you. All right, All right. Thank you very much. Cool. I think that's the Colorado number. All right. So you guys are trying to head to Houston, or you're already in Houston. I don't even know where you're at, but thank you, Lord, for bringing to that new place, God, of submission to you, Father, of agreement with you, Father, in Jesus' name, and how to, you know, walk out a new land to how to stay focused, because sometimes God brings so many blessings in one thing. It's like, which way do we go? So I thank you, Lord, for guiding them through so many things. Sometimes Satan tempts us, you know, when we get ready to go into our Jerusalem or our Israel or whatever. Jesus went through that thing of being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, so that, you know, once he passed that test, you know, he went into Jerusalem full of power with an anointing, with an anointing that he had never had before. He went in there empowered with the Holy Ghost and began to take the city, do things. So thank you, Lord, for showing them how to unite together, to bind together, to as they come and Satan says, you know, you can have these blessings, all these blessings. See all these, you know, see all these kingdoms, you can have these things, like blessings, right? You know, so when we resist that and say, no, I'm not going to get the blessing that way. No, I don't, it may be a blessing, but I'm going to get my blessings God's way. And I thank you, Lord, that you will show them how to do that so that they enter into to get their blessings God's way, in the powerful way, in the power of the anointing way. In Jesus' name, that you, that they, as they've entered into that place of surrender, God, surrendering to you, surrendering to each other, and surrendering to the will of God. We thank you, Lord, for that. And that new place that they're in, Father, in Jesus' name, that they're, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Right. And in that place of binding and loosening, and I see a new prayer thing going on, a new prayer language, a new prayer understanding, new prayer wisdom, something like that. Prayer is not just asking God, but finding, seeking and finding, knocking it open, right? Not knocking, spend all the time knocking without any real openings. We thank you, Lord, for that. As you think, thank you, Lord, for those, as they knock, it's open. As they seek, they find. Seek and find, knock and open. Thank you, Lord, for that place in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Open it up, Father, and bless them and keep them and watch over and let them enter into their blessings, you know, one after the other, because they resist the temptation of getting the blessing in any other way other than God's way, in Jesus' name, the kingdom way. Hallelujah. Through obedience. Amen. Not through just being good, but through obedience, being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for that mantle upon their life, God, to be successful, Jesus, to succeed. Amen. The spirit of success be upon you. You told Joshua, Mike, the spirit of success. You want to be successful? Meditation. Meditate on it. Learn how to draw out of and drink in and bring the spiritual, heavenly information into the earth realm, into your soul, into your mind, where you can understand what to do and how to do it. Amen. Because when you're standing strong and you know, you're in the knowing realm, when Satan comes along and says, "Hath God really said?" You go, "Get behind me, devil!" Right? Like you told Eve, "Hath God really said?" Because she didn't really know, you know. But you know, when you walk in the knowing realm, when you know God's telling you to do that thing or be a part of that thing, yeah, the knowing just totally says, "Get behind me!" And you know, there's no questions going on here. I don't have any questions. I just got answers. Yeah, my sheep know my voice. Know it. All right. 612-991, who might talk to you from, please?
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce and Blossom from Minnesota.
Oh, Joyce and Blossom. Okay. All right, good to have you guys tonight. All right, Joyce. Talk from Minnesota. All right, good to have you guys tonight. Sweet Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for Blossom, God. We thank you for opening Blossom's eyes to the love realm, what love really is, what it's really not, to be able to test love and see if love is really real. Because if you test love and you find it's not real, then you don't want to be part of that kind of love, right? So God's showing you what real love is, if somebody really loves you or they just want something from you, you know, so you test that out. There's a test, and God will show you different tests to test things out. That's just what God does. He shows how to test things. Test and see if God will bless you. Test and see. Sometimes we have to test things and see because we don't always know everything about every human being. So we have to test and see, make sure that, you know, okay, this is real love. This is real God doing this thing. It's not just a love of flesh, love of the human love, but it's God's love flowing. And thank the Lord for showing her the different things of love, like love of family, love of friends, love of a mate, you know, in the future, love of, you know, what kind of different loves that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Open her eyes to that God and bless her with real love, God, more and more all the time. Show what real love is. She will walk in that and live in that. Be blessed by that. Amen. All right, Joyce, thank you, Lord, for Joyce. Thank you, Lord, for her life, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are concerned about every little part of her life. Amen. Every little part, and not just a few things here and there, but you're concerned about everything that she's concerned about, and that you are working on those things, God, and that she will be patient and wait, and let God, you know, show and reveal. Then, you know, all will be well. You know, we have to be patient. And sometimes we get impatient. I know I get impatient. I get impatient a lot. God says, what are you doing? Your impatience is messing it up. So I'm like, what? You know, and so he shows me how to be patient and how to be kind and how to wait and how to see, wait and see. And sometimes it's about taste and see, right? You have to taste and see if the Lord is good in something. And so thank you, Jesus, for giving her that ability to be patient. You know, sometimes things can be hindered. They can be, you know, hindered sometimes a lot. Sometimes a little bit. It just depends. But thank you, Lord, for that. Those times of hindrance, God, that she will see that, you know, being patient is what, like, what happened with Daniel. When Daniel said that Gabriel finally broke through, 21 days of delay, Gabriel said, man, God heard you the first time. But, man, the warfare, the stuff. And that's in the spirit realm, much less in the human realm, where people, you know, God is supposed to bless us, but they struggle in battle and they don't hear God right and all that. We have to be patient and wait and keep on believing God, keep on being patient and waiting and waiting for the Lord. Amen. And then God ends up blessing you. Amen. That's what he's going to do. All right. Joyce, thank you very much. All right, 919-801, who am I talking to, refer, please? I'm 19801. Are you there? All right, 919. Yeah. All right, 919. Thank you, Lord, for 919. Thank you, Lord, for the things you suffer and the charity that you the charity heart that you have, 919. And God's giving you a heart of charity, out of love, that you, as you walk in that and do what God tells you to do, that he will bless you, amen, and he will make you, he will increase your ability to love and to be loved, amen, and to learn how to let God love you is a really, really, really big thing in the kingdom of God, is learning how, if you want to stay full of God, you've got to let God love you, right, let him love you and show you, and in the loving becomes the showing. When God loves us, he shows. Love is showing. Love is not just acting like you're going to do it. Love is showing people. Love is actually doing something. Love is an action thing that does things. So I thank you, Lord, for showing 919 how to do action things to show love. And that, with that showing love, when we obey God in that, it comes reward. God rewards us. And so thank you, Lord, that this 919 will receive that receive that fellowship of letting God love her. The Bible says first love is love, God loving. He said we love because God first loved us. So first love is God loving us. Not us loving God, but God loving us. Second love is us loving God, right? But we're loving him with the first love because he loved us first. So God's showing you that first love, how powerful that realm of self first love is. Amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah. When you put God first, because you're letting him love you. And that's why you can put him first, because he's loving you, right? And then you love him back, that love, and love others and love yourself. All right, 919, thank you. All right, 903-808, who I talk to you from, please?
This is Janie in Texas.
Janie in Texas. All right, Janie. All right, Janie. I'm going to be with you tonight, Janie. Thank you. Hang on a second, Janie. Texting stuff going on here. All right. Jeannie, thank you, Jeannie. Getting text things going on here. Wow. All right. Treasures. Taking captivity captive. And like those, you know, captives, like what you take captive, the captive thing, what you take captive is like treasures and blessings and treasures. Oh, yeah. Yeah, those treasures for taking captive. It's like, you know, it's like we go to a treasure hunt, so to speak, and finding treasures and things that we didn't think had treasures in them. It's like I see you finding treasures and things that you're going like, you're just kind of stumbling along there, and all of a sudden it's like you stumble across a treasure. You stumble across a treasure, like you're like, wow, look at that. I didn't know that was going to be such a blessing. Wow, look at that. I didn't know that was going to be Look, I stumbled onto these things. Like, it's not like you knew you were being led by God. You know, it's like, you know, when you found the name of the Antichrist, you know, I kind of like, so to speak, stumbled upon that, I guess. It was a treasure. I mean, what a treasure. That within itself was a treasure. And I see God just, that's just kind of like, that happens with me a lot. I just stumble along. I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing what God tells me to do. And, you know, and I'm hearing him. Sometimes I'm just working. I'm going about trying to do, you know, and I just find myself, you know, because I have a heart for serving God, the heart for serving, that I find myself finding treasures all the time. It's like, it's my reward. It becomes my reward. Those treasures that I just seemingly stumble upon, it's like God showing me, look, I'm leading and guiding you. You don't even know it. You know, like boom, boom, boom. And there's a treasure, another treasure, and another treasure. And I thank you, Lord, for unveiling those treasures, God. As she just walks along and does your will and does your purpose, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, and let it be done. Opening up treasures, finding treasures. In Jesus' name, of all kinds. Treasures of information, treasures of friendship, treasures of things that you thought there's not much to that. And all of a sudden, boom, look at there it was. It was hidden from me, and now I see it. Amen. Open that up, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. 402-214. Who would I talk to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's me, Sharon.
Hey. All right. Sharon from New York. Hello. Thank you, Sharon. Yes. All right. Thank you for that help earlier with the thumb pad thing. It was really cool. You said exactly what I wanted to say, too. wherever you found that. That was awesome. And see, there you are, helping a friend. You know, you're really good at that. And so thank you, Lord, for rewarding her, even for that tonight, God. God wants to show you that, Sharon, you know, he wants to open you up to the reward realm. Rewards are not just for your selfish little thing where, you know, I got all this stuff, I'm going to have it planned. No, it's for doing the will of God. Rewards are for doing the will of God, for doing more of the will of God, and doing more and more and more and more and more. That's why rewards are so important, because we want more of the will of God, but we got to, if we don't believe God for the rewards and understand what they're for, think, ah, that's not really that important. Oh, God gave you, you didn't look it up. Oh, awesome. Cool. That was great. She says God, she didn't look it up. God gave it to her. That is beautiful. It's perfect. See, and then there, you know, God's going to reward you for that. I mean, he showed you something. Look how it blessed. What a blessing that it was. And God wants to show you the whole reward realm and how important it is to want the rewards. Oh, I don't do it for the rewards. Well, you should, because the Bible says he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. If you don't believe that he is a rewarder, the rewards are there not to pad your pocket and give you a bunch of extra stuff you can hide in the backyard and keep for a few. No, it's to keep doing the will of God. 30, 60, 100-fold. You know, 30-fold rewards lead you to 60-fold rewards. 60-fold rewards lead you to 100-fold rewards. Rewards are for opening up doors and bringing blessing. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. We've got to get that. You know, we believe God. We come to him. We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for that reward system. And start blessing her, showing her the rewards, God, and you're going to reward her for her obedience. Obedience can be a lot of different things. It's not just giving money, just obeying God, as you know. So I thank you, Lord, for that and opening her up to that, Jesus, and calling her, calling those things that are not as though they were. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. And then we have Donald and Tanya, which I almost forgot about. I almost forgot about them. So I'm going to get them right now. Thank you for Donald and Tanya's that God. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing them and sustaining them, Father, to pass the test. Provision of your faithfulness, God, that's when God gives us his trust the most, when we show our faithfulness to him, when we don't feel like it, when it's hard, when it's difficult, and we press through, we breakthroughs and pressure points bring breakthroughs. And so if we're pressing through and pushing through and not giving up and asking God for the blessing and keep on pressing and wrestling with that angel and don't give it up. That pressure is what presses you through. I mean, that pressure comes with, you know, hey, it's difficult to hang in there. It's difficult to keep going. It's difficult, but you just keep on saying, God, you know, give me your energy. Give me your strength. I don't have enough strength to do this. Give me your strength to keep wrestling and believing God for this breakthrough, for the blessing. And God, I thank you, Lord, for doing that with them in Jesus' name and open them up to that place of blessing, it's a blessing from God. No matter what goes on, God's showing, I can trust you. You know why? Because when everything starts messing up, something in you kicks in and you start being more faithful than ever. God goes, I can trust somebody with that, like that. Maybe that's all about trust. All right. 334-590. You want to talk to your friend, please? Are you there? I believe that's Jayla. All right. I think that's Jayla. I think it is, yeah. For sure it's Jayla. I thank you, Lord, for Jayla tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for keeping her heart, God, that she will keep her heart and her mind stayed on you. And teach her, Lord, how to do that. Teach her that no matter what issues we have with our thinking ability, with our ability to, you know, work things out, do things right, and be perfect and all that. The Holy Spirit is there to help us keep our mind focused on you Amen. When fear tries to come at us, that means that the enemy's trying to keep us from the faith that God has promised us. That God has fear tries to hide things. Fear tries to keep us from frozen up where we don't do anything, where we don't move. Right? That's what fear always does to me. Tries to freeze me up. I thank you, Lord, that Jayla doesn't freeze up. That she continues to trust you, God, to believe you about you are her protector. You are the glory and the lift of her head. No matter what people may try to do or want to do or she thinks they want to do, whatever that is. And I thank you that, God, that she will stand firm and know that this is where God is saying, you can trust me, you can believe in me. Just break out of that thing of fear. Fear tries to get us to not believe God. Faith definitely gets us to trust God. And I thank you, Lord, for that fear mode being broken off. Where I break that fear mode off of you. In the name of Jesus, I loosen you from the fear. That mind-bending spirit tries to mess with your mind, break your mind up, and shatter into, things that so they won't be together for you and unified and understood. Confusion tries to hit you. In the name of Jesus, I command that fear to be broken off you now in Jesus' name, that you will not be torn. You will not be broken up in pieces. You will be blessed. And then and kept in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's a cycle you're going through. God's going to help you with you to break you through that cycle. Amen. So know that it's a cycle. It's not some thing. Amen. It's a cycle you're going through. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Hang on just a second. Take me just a quick little. Go do something here real quick. I'll be right back. Let's go on here. Thank you. A little break there real quick. All right, 402-650. Who am I talking to referring, please?
Randy, it's John from Omaha with Millie. And I have a panel of interviews tomorrow.
Interviews tomorrow, okay. This season, Lord, of the walls of Jericho just coming down, Father, in Jesus' name, and tumbling down through his obedience, through his time of just doing what you tell him to do, going where it may seem like a difficult time, difficult process of going through and maintaining his obedience to you, God, just hanging in there, even though he feels, like Joshua felt fearful, he knew that God had called him to it, so he's like in between both, knowing. And that's what caused him to have such great confidence in God was his knowing that this thing was too big for him, that God was going to have to help him through it. And that's why God loved him so much. I thank you, Lord, for John's heart, that John is like that God. Those interviews, we thank you for blessing it, giving him the grace to be cool and calm and sharp in Jesus' name and on top of things. Amen. And that he goes with confidence and yet humility. And they will see the real John that I know, the blessing in Jesus' name, and the heart you've given him, Father, to serve and do good and to bring answers to people and bring answers to be an answer. That Jesus Christ, he is the answer. And so when we have him, we have answers. Right? Yeah. And so bless Melissa, God. Cause Melissa to, walk in faith like never before, God, in Jesus' name, that she will see that the walk of faith is even though sometimes we can't see things, that we know that God's going to do it. And even though we don't always know exactly how he's going to do it, it doesn't mean that we don't have faith for it to be done just because we don't know how. We just know that God is going to do it. And Jesus' name, hallelujah, that she will come in agreement with that new season, new time of breakthrough and blessing and confidence, amen, in each other and in you, God. Amen. All right. Cool. All right. 573-838. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Janiqua, Evansville, Indiana.
Janiqua, and who else?
Janiqua, I'm from Evansville, Indiana.
Janiqua. Okay, Janiqua. Thank you. All right, Janiqua. Janiqua, thank you, Lord, for Janiqua. Thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God, and letting her see that her heart to want to give and be a blessing is from you, in Jesus' name, and that she's going to fulfill that dream She's not only going to be having things given to her, but she's going to be a giver. She is a giver. That's her. That's who she is. And God, you're going to show her how to do that, how to be a giver in every area of her life, not just one or two areas, not just with, you know, friendship or money or whatever, but how to be a giver in every area, how to give and offer up every part of her life to you, God, for service and helping, doing, being a blessing. And once you walk in that place, Shaniqua, what you do enter into is the reward system of God, because God never not pays us. He rewards us. That's one thing we can depend on, is that God will always pay you. He's a payment God. Jesus paid for everything on the cross, and that's how he paid for it. So it's all been paid for, and God's going to show you the payment system. That all happened through the cross of Calvary, where Jesus paid, and we just love, by loving him and adoring him and trusting him and doing what he says, we enter into that payment system where not only do we get paid, but we help other people get paid. Paid with the rewards, with the things that they need. They need a child. They need to have a baby. We can pray and believe God for them to have a child. They need a job. We pray for them to have a job. And so we thank you, Lord, for opening that up to her, God, and showing her that, the power of blessing and giving and the reward system of all that, that our rewards come from God. Because when our rewards come from God, Shaniqua, nobody can stop that reward. It doesn't matter what human being knows or doesn't know anything. When God decides to bless you, he blesses you, and nobody can figure out how in the world it happened. It was just God, and because you trusted him, because you loved him and trusted him. Amen? In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that love and trust that she has for you, Jesus, that she will enter into that place, God, more and more. Amen. All right, 951-966. Am I talking to you, friend, please?
Hi, this is Regina.
Hi, Regina.
This is Regina. Hi.
Yes. Hi, Regina. Thank you, dear. Thanks for being with us. Amen. Yeah. I just hear that yes and amen thing. God wants you to say right now, for some reason, more than usual, yes and amen. Yes and amen. Right. Yeah. Anytime God has me walking that realm, sometimes this is something God taught me, Regina, a while back, that he doesn't need a lot of intercession in prayer. He doesn't need a lot of things. But one thing he does need is agreement. Yeah, agreement. Sometimes we think we got to pray long hours. You know, all that's good. But if we miss the point of what's going on, that, you know, he wants, what does God want? What's all of our prayers for? What is all of our, you know, yielding to God about? About learning how to come into agreement. Because God says, all I need from you is just agreement. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know anything. Just know that you come in agreement with me, and it shall be done. You know, it's not about being Mr. or Mrs. Know-everything and know stuff. And, you know, that's the thing, is that when you walk in that place, in Jesus' name, it's like, wow, then you start knowing. Then you start, you know, God starts showing you stuff. Amen? Because coming to agreement with him, he starts saying, okay, now that you've agreed with me, let me tell you what's going on. And so it unfolds before you. Why? Because you prayed hard, you fasted hard, and you did stuff hard enough. No, because you learned how to come into agreement with God. You know, and people that do that, God does anything that he wants done through them, and then he rewards you with taking care of your business. You take care of God's business, God's going to take care of your business. What's usually your business in prayer? Coming to agreement. Prayer with you is that kind of, okay, God, sometimes I may pray for 30 minutes or 3 hours or five, whatever it takes to find out how to come in agreement. What do you want me to come in agreement with, God? And once he tells you, that's it. You don't have to stop. You don't have to keep praying for hours or minutes or anything. Once he tells you what to come in agreement with, that's it. Okay, God, I come in agreement with you about that. Okay, and that's when it's going to be done. That whether two more come in agreement, it shall be done. Your Father, which is in heaven, that you think. Thank you, Lord, for showing her that, God. That's the main thing that we all wrestle for, believe God for, is that, you know, Jesus said, I do what I see the Father. He came into agreement. He could see what the Father is saying. God would show him. He would just know things. And it was like, okay, I come in agreement with that. And so when he would come in agreement, then he would lay hands on the sick, and that sick person would be healed. He would, you know, needed money for his taxes. He told Peter, go get, you know, all that was because he came in agreement with the Father, right? And then God showed him what to do. And then agreement, and then he shows you. Agreement, then he shows you. If you need to be shown anything. Amen. agreement. It's just that simple. Prayer, and when we spend 30 seconds or 30 hours in prayer, it's to find out what they're coming to agreement about. And once we do that, there's no more need for prayer. It's all about, yep, I agree. Yes and amen. Amen. Let it be done. All right. 240-482, who am I talking to? Come, please.
Good evening. This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. All right. Good to have you, Valerie. This is Valerie. At the midnight hour. I don't even know what that song is. At the midnight, so you know the midnight hour, you know what that means. Midnight hour is when everything breaks loose. The midnight hour is when everything's changing because you're going from one day to the next day, one season to the next season. You know, like the Passover, the angel of death came when all the plagues have been going on for months. Then the very, you know, when the plague came, the very last plague, the very last thing that was going to bring them wealth and blessing, and the very next day they were going to go because the angel of death came at midnight, killed all the firstborn, right? It happened at midnight. And then after midnight, like at 1 o'clock, they went to their neighbors asking for gold and silver. And they gave it to them, right? So, yeah, so there's something about that in Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for the midnight hour, showing her, God, how to, you know, the midnight hour, the ten virgins, the five foolish and the five wise. The bridegroom came in the midnight hour at midnight, exactly midnight. All right, and then they entered in. They rose up, they had oil, and they entered in. So I thank you, Lord, for Valerie, God, that she will be aware of that, so she'll be looking for that and be obedient to that. You know, it's that midnight hour means you're be aware of this, of the midnight hour, because that's when you go from, you know, when Israel went from being slaves to having gold and silver and blessing and walking out as free. They were no longer slaves. All that happened after the midnight hour. They moved into their group. Amen. So thank you, Lord, for that with Valerie, in Jesus' name, and her success with you, God, and her favor with you, Father, in Jesus' name, that she will know that she is favored, God, and loved and special in your sight, God. That you look after her, you're watching over her, God, in the name of Jesus. In the midnight hour, bop, bop, bop. I don't even know what the song means or what it is, but it doesn't matter. But, and it's about the midnight hour. The midnight hour, we all waiting for that midnight hour. If we can just make it to the midnight hour, when that comes, that changes. Angel of death comes, takes care of the enemy, brings a shift. And then the next day, we're in a whole new thing, man. Whole new thing. Yeah. All right. All right, Valerie. Submit something. All right, 607-216. Can we talk to your friend, please? 607-216. Hello.
Yes, Anthony from New York. Anthony from New York. Anthony from New York.
Yes, Anthony. Thank you. Nice to have you, Anthony. Thank you very much. All right, Anthony. Good to have you, Anthony. Yeah, I think I'm getting all this worse tonight about hindrances and, you know, like Daniel. When Daniel prayed, he 21 days, or 21-day delay, and that wasn't just something he came up with. You know what the angel said? The angel said, you know, there's been a delay. And so, but the thing is that delays don't mean that it's not coming, right? Delays mean that it's delayed. And the angel, Gabriel told Daniel, he said, man, God brought the answer. I mean, he released the information and everything that very same day you prayed. But that hindrance and breakthrough thing, before the breakthrough was, so Daniel had to be patient. He couldn't figure out what's going on. God usually answers me by now, you know, but he did not realize what kind of big answer was God's going to bring to him. And so Daniel had to keep praying, right? He had to keep seeking, keep asking, because that breakthrough was coming. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, for that situation with him, that those delays. Like another scripture I've been using tonight on that delay thing is that, you know, the 10 virgins, there was a delay, right? five fools, five birds, five wise. There was a delay. They came there. They were ready. And they left. And they, well, a delay, so they fell asleep. Amen. And then when the bridegroom came, it was at midnight. And the, but there was a delay. But he came. It happened. So God wants you to just breathe hope into you, Anthony, that he's going to break you through. You're going to find yourself sufficient in sufficient need. Your needs being met. In Jesus' name. And, you know, and be faithful to God. Do what God says. Don't be yielding to fear. And you know, give to God what belongs to God, and God will give to you what belongs to you. So Jesus said, he told them, give to God what belongs to God. And, yeah, God will give to you what belongs to you. That's the way it works. So thank you for that, God. Amen. Bless him, Jesus. All right. Eight oh three eight six three eight oh eight. You want to talk to Ruth Crim, please?
Hey, Randy, this is Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl from Florida. Thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Lord. All right, thank you, Lord, for that timing thing. That timing thing, timing. You know, we got into the show the other night. I don't know if you were able to listen to the show. Was it Monday? We were talking about timing, the timing of releasing the Antichrist word, the timing of the way things worked out, how it all happened. You know, when I started looking back, going, okay, how does timing work exactly? What does that mean? Timing for what? So it says, you know, that at a certain time, the Antichrist will be revealed, unveiled, right? So there's a certain time things just happen, good, bad, ugly. And so in that case, it was a good thing that he was being revealed, But, so anyway, the timing thing, the whole timing thing, understand timing. There's been a thing about timing. I've given several people about this, almost the same word about timing, that hindrances come. Paul said, I would have come to you sooner, but Satan hindered me. So we got to realize that the kingdom of God does have hindrances, and that those things can, but it doesn't mean that it's not ours, doesn't mean that it's not coming, doesn't mean that, that it doesn't belong to us. But there's hindrances. And so, you know. And that's why God tells us to persevere and be strong and be patient. Because that's how the enemy robs us, is he delays things a little bit and we get discouraged. None of us are perfect, but you've persisted. You know, you got things, you know, lined up with, you know, okay, God, you know, I'm going to pursue you no matter what. I'm going to seek after you no matter what, no matter what anybody thinks, no matter what anybody does. And so sometimes we fight through that stuff. And sometimes it's a test because God's just seeing if we will, you know, agree with him, if we will wait for him. If he's delayed, like the 10 virgins, the bridegroom was delayed. Well, you know, so all the process of the delay caused, exposed those who had the oil and those who didn't. You know, those who didn't make it, right? So you've got oil. God's showing you how to keep the oil and get the oil in your life. So thank you, Lord, for that and the timing thing and to know that, you know, we just keep agreeing and keep on believing, keep on doing what God says. Joseph, you know, you're kind of like in a sense you're in a prison. What are you doing? You're serving. You're serving your daddy. You're serving others. You know, you're like you're a servant. And Joseph was a servant in that situation, in a prison. And yet he was right at that breakthrough point when those two guys came in from Pharaoh's court and he interpreted their dreams, you know, and then they still forgot him. Sometimes we feel forgotten. You know, you didn't forget me. You forget, you know, what God, you know, hey, what's that? But in the God's timing, you know, it all worked out. So it was just time because the time came, what God was setting the timing up for with Joseph was that when the famine was getting ready to come, that's when Joseph was, everything he had been trained for, all those years in prison, all those years with Potiphar and whatever, rejected by his brothers, all that training was, and the timing of all of it was working until the time came where God was going to have a famine. After 7 years of blessing, 7 years of famine. That's all 7 years of timing, 7 years of blessing, timing, 7 years of famine, timing. And all the years before that. So at a certain time, it began. The blessings began. God poured out 7 years of blessing. So we had realized everything. So Joseph was in prison until it was time for that famine to come. So what happened? What revealed the right time? Joseph. I mean, Pharaoh had a dream. Oh my God, he didn't understand it. He was going to kill everybody if they didn't give him the right answer. And nobody was. He said, get me somebody that will. And that's when they remembered who he was. Get Joseph. He's the one. He'll show you. Because now the time of the famine, of the blessing was there. And, of course, God wanted him there to be positioned to deal with food, to save the world, you know, the feed thing, to get the grain, all that, to save his brothers, to save his family, and to save others, the world, basically. And all that suffering he went through for so long, when he looked back, he saw the timing and all of it. That he stepped up to the throne and interpreted. So his dream interpretation was even timing. You know, when the two guys got from Pharaoh's court, got put in there, he interpreted their dream. That was a timing thing, right? And then a little bit later, you know, what happened? Because he had interpreted their dream. Then Pharaoh had a dream when they were restored. One of them was restored, the other was killed. The timing of all that was so important because God knew that when after he had him put in prison, had Joseph interpreted the dream, sent them back, one of them back, to be with the king so that he could tell Pharaoh, yeah, I know you're having trouble with your dream. I know somebody that interpreted my dream. So all that thing was timing, perfect timing. And we thank you, Jesus, for the perfect timing of all of her sufferings, all of her servanthood, all of those things growing and learning, being faithful to God no matter what. No matter what it costs you, you being faithful to God. And all that is preparation for the time, all that time. Okay. I don't understand all of you, but there you go. All right. 251-229, who am I talking to you from, please?
Oh, hello, Prophet Randy, Sarah from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. All right, good to have you. All right, Sarah. Sarah for being with us. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing her, God. Thank you for counting her many blessings. Count them one by one. Count them all to see what God has done. So that, you know, and God's going to show you some things that, like with Joseph did not realize. Sometimes our blessings are, we're blinded by them because we're suffering. Sometimes suffering, we don't know it, but it's a blessing. Joseph was suffered the pain of rejection from his brothers, but little did he realize that they had delivered him into the will of the Father. They delivered him. The ones who hated him, the ones who were jealous of him, delivered him, sold him out. They thought they had just done some bad, but in God's eyes, God was getting his man in this right place. So, yeah, so thank you, Lord, for Sarah. God, in Jesus' name, and all the things that she suffered, gone through. Amen. So thank you, Jesus, for that, for opening her up and showing her that sometimes the things that we suffer are hidden blessings. And Joseph looked back in his life later, he said, count my many blessings, name them one by one. Well, it starts out with the dream, and then my brothers threw me into the well. And sold me out. That's what got me here. It didn't look like a blessing at the time, but it was. So God's going to open your eyes, Sheriff, to see the blessing, little, big, whatever they are, suffering things you suffered, that they're really ended up being a blessing. Because some things you might not have, direction you might not have gone had you not suffered those things. You start counting them as a blessing instead of like Joseph for years, upset about that. His brothers rejected him. How dare they do that? God, I messed up. I shouldn't have shared the dream with them. I shouldn't blah, blah, blah. You know, and he had to work through all the guilt and shame and all the stuff. Most of his guilt and shame was not even right. Amen. And God had to open him up to the blessing of all of it. Amen. And then he said later, what God meant, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. In other words, there's a blessing in it. Amen. And God, open your eyes to the treasures of things, even to your sufferings, to know that you know, God can take something and get you somewhere by suffering pain where he wants you. And give him thanks for it, like you do. All right. All right. I think that's it. Nobody else has their hand up. these other people don't have their hand up, so whatever. Fine with me. Anybody else want to minister to? You have to raise your hand. I will not call your number if you don't have your hand up. All right, if you don't have your hand up, I'm not going to call your number. I don't mind. Some people like to call in and just listen, so that's it. Okay. All right, I think that's it for tonight. My callers answered all the texts, as far as I know. It's the 22nd today, September the 22nd. Well, I just realized that. We moved into a new day. It's past midnight. Yes, Noel, thank you. It was a great night. Yeah. Great night. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. We get to minister to a lot of people. That's what I love about Wednesdays, man. We just get to knock a lot of words out fast. It's just so amazing how that happens. Don't ask me because I don't have a clue. I really don't know, honestly. It's mind-boggling. Like the little bumblebee is just flying around. I don't know how. It's literally how it feels. I've had people tell me, you can't do that before. I've literally had to tell prophets, other prophets, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't minister that many people. One night, got to be led by the Lord. That's what I've been told, literally. So, you know, when we broke that thing up, man. Sorry. So when we broke that up and started a new thing, it was pretty cool. Very cool. And God is very gracious, and he knows that I don't know. You know, he knows I know that. So I just confess it. Why not get it out in the open? Nobody else is texting me saying I missed them or whatever, so I think we got it all. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much. We love you. Bye-bye.